If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So right now, I'm standing in the gayest place on earth.
I guess so.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country. In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Gay, 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 gay.
Talk about being gay.
Frankly, I think, you know, it comes off a little gay.
You're gay. You're gay. You're gay. You're gay. You're gay. You're so gay. You're so gay. You don't even know you're gay. You're gay.
You're gay. You're gay. You're really, really gay. You're gay. You're gay. You're really, really gay. You're gay. Oh, God, you're really gay. Yes, I said you're gay. That's because you're really gay. You're gay. Gay, 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 gay. Gay, gay, gay. Gay, 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 gay. You're gay.
And now, cut, print. Gay. Our feature presentation.
Some very talented listeners, don't we?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
So last night I'm playing poker, and they have the baseball game on, which, of course, you know I'm not a huge fan of.
Right. Which
the
game?
Cleveland.
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
Your game, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, there was a game after that.
Right.
Game,
but I'm saying the only game that matters for you.
True.
Yeah.
And that game was in Cleveland, I think,
yes.
Right? And they showed the attack of the mosquitoes or whatever.
Yes.
That,
from an earlier game, or did it happen again last night?
I don't know. Mosquitoes or gnats?
I don't know.
It was gross.
They were like swarming. Did
yes.
it happen a couple days ago or something?
About a week ago.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Swarming the players. I mean, like they were in a fog of little tiny.
Did you see
bugs.
The guy's neck that was just covered with them? Oh, it was gross.
And did they show the ump running out with like spray off bug spray?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
so
they
spray
the pitcher and everything.
And they showed him like handing out little packets of spray to, you know, fans that come in.
You shouldn't have to worry about malaria when you're pitching in the playoffs, all right?
Well, I mean, just another in the long list of reasons why Cleveland blows.
Yes.
My God. I've never seen a baseball team get attacked by bugs like that.
Yeah, it was pretty
funny. It was like a swarm of locusts or something. It was crazy.
It was very funny.
And they're all just like trying to figure out how to keep them off their skin and waving, you know, trying to get them away from your face. You know how stupid you look when you're trying to wave and trying to get like mosquitoes away from your face.
And the guy that's doing the report, because there was a guy standing
yep.
up doing the report, and then the cameraman next to him like starts slapping his own neck because
yep.
all of a sudden he's getting attacked.
Starts beating himself up. What a nightmare that is.
Ugh. Yeah, you would not want to play there.
They should. Oh, can you imagine having to play in Cleveland? I don't
mind Cleveland as much as you do.
Of course you don't.
I've never even been there, but I don't plan to go now.
It's actually not a bad town.
And by not a bad town, he means hell
There's
on earth.
Not a bad
Why
town.
Why would I ever visit a not a bad town unless I had to?
No, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But Bean's not a bad town. You have to understand his scale. I mean, he goes
right.
to Death Valley on vacation.
Not a bad town.
So when he says Cleveland's not a bad town, that means it's one of the worst.
Right. You know, I have been talking about for a long time going on vacation to Detroit, and I think that is happening soon. I think that's going to be next.
You can't find any place else worse than
Kansas?
No,
a lot of things to see out there in Michigan. So I haven't been, you know? I'm trying
What is there to see in Detroit?
I'm trying to see everything.
You going to go throw down on the 8 Mile? Is that your story?
I might.
I might
have to do that. I'm going to find Meg White, and she will be mine, I'll tell you that.
But really, what's there to do? We're like, really, do they have museums or something?
They have...
Everyone has museums.
Yeah, I know, but Detroit blows.
Well, you know, the Maritime Sailors Cathedral on Lake Superior is, you know, that's the main goal of my visit. And it happens to be near Detroit, so it gives me the opportunity to also see Detroit. And
that's funny.
Go see, mm-hmm. And go see, you know, the Motown Museum and stuff like that. There's some pretty cool stuff out there. So
that's funny.
Have fun.
Going out to a barbecue at Kid Rock's house, you know.
Sure.
Stuff
you
like
and,
that.
You and the pimp of the nation hanging out.
Yeah, you got it, man.
You
no.
Could you see Bean and Kid Rock hanging out? You
Not
imagine
for
that?
1 second.
That'd be awesome.
You could visit Nuge too.
Oh, the Nuge. Go out to his compound.
Yeah. Is Ted Nugent?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're
oh, yeah.
Larry King to his Kid Rock.
Could we hear a little Larry King,
oh,
by
sure.
the way? Because that tape is so spectacular. I don't believe it got the proper due on this program, but Larry King, who remember is 150,
yep.
who I guess somebody else is booking the guests, and he apparently doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know why they're on his show. He doesn't know what they do. He doesn't have anything to say to them.
Certainly
yet he
doesn't bother to find out,
no.
does he?
He sure doesn't. So he has like an hour to talk to Kid Rock, who to him is the next guy on the street. Doesn't
yeah.
matter. It's very funny.
Ride my go-karts.
What kind of car is that?
Which car?
That race car. What is that?
Those are go-karts.
As I just explained on the videotape that we were watching together, Larry.
Old man.
I'm driving a go-kart.
What kind of car is that?
I don't know. I just told you.
Who's driving?
What's with the pole?
What's that?
What's with the pole?
He's asking what's with the stripper pole. I hope that's
Larry.
What he's asking. I hope.
You mean you don't have one in your house?
No. How do you use it?
But know why the pole's in the house, right?
Do you slide down the pole?
Hell no.
Oh,
okay. Who in the world doesn't know what a stripper pole is?
Larry thinks it's a fire station pole.
Yeah.
Do you slide down the pole?
Yeah.
No.
In my secret identity as the freaking Caped Crusader, I slide down the pole on my way to the Batmobile, Larry.
Do visitors slide down the pole?
They have.
Of the female persuasion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't like guys on the pole, Larry.
No.
No. Larry knows that. There's something Larry knows. Know that you don't let guys anything. On the pole.
I wish we could teach Mike that, by the way.
So you always work with a hat on?
Yeah, usually.
Ever take it off on stage?
Oh, yeah.
What's this?
Oh, you want me to take my hat off?
Yeah, good.
Are you getting that?
Yeehaw!
Oh, my God.
Now let's see your hair.
You look biblical. Wait a minute. Hold it. You're blonde.
Oh, my God. They pay him millions for these gems.
Here's the highest rated show on CNN. Is that right?
Yes. How is this show the program that's representing the United States around the world on CNN?
He's like your half-senile Uncle Leo.
That's a great question, too, because when you're over in Europe or, you know, Mexico or someplace else, you do get CNN usually.
Yep.
So you usually get Larry King. So everyone in the world is judging us by two things. President Bush, Larry King.
That's the exports. You're right.
Do you have tattoos?
Yeah. What about that, Larry?
I'll tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
That was at the end of an hour, by the way.
Larry, didn't we already meet? Haven't we been talking for 60 minutes?
We have met, yes.
Wait, which one are you?
Where's the kid? Is there a kid here someplace? You have a kid? Did you bring a kid?
What's up with the poll? Gayest question ever asked on CNN, by the way.
You can get this audio, by the way, at krock.com. Kevin and Bean Sounds, if you want to go there and listen to that. Please.
And should, by the way. I smell me a ringtone.
Man, Larry is just, I'm getting obsessed with him.
He's awesome.
He's one of those guys that is, losing it entirely in front of us.
Yes.
Losing it entirely.
It would be like if President Reagan had stayed in office another 25 years. This is what it would be like, seeing him near the end.
Oh, Larry's so good. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, and it's the 16th of October. And on the program this morning, we're going to talk to sex addicts.
Okay.
Lisa. Hey, we should have done an Ask a Sex Addict. That's what we should have done.
That's good, too.
Maybe we'll try to find one that we talk to today.
That's good.
Because in our Ask a series, we have a bunch, but we didn't think about sex addicts.
No.
We'll just have a whole bunch of guys on hold going, busy tonight? also on today's show, there's a new... No, we're not doing that, are we? We're not doing... Hey, Bean.
Yeah.
We're not doing this thing right there, right? Because... Or are we?
No, we are. We're doing that. That's
we
it.
We are doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought we replaced it with that other thing.
Oh, I didn't know. We had talked about that. You want to do the other thing instead?
Well, I don't know. Lightning, remember when he wrote us?
It's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, it is a good thing.
The audio is okay.
We could put off this thing for a day and do that thing today.
Well, I think the problem, though, was the editing.
The video.
Oh, yeah. Can't make the video work.
The video.
Right. Can't put the video up. Yeah.
Right.
But the audio, we're good.
Okay.
So what do you want to do?
So we're going to do that thing?
I don't. Let's try and squeeze in both.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they're both awesome.
All right. We're back, everybody. I don't know what you were doing there for a second, but we're back.
In case you ever wondered what a meeting on the Kevin and Bean Show sounds like.
There's a new website we want to introduce you to called Instructables.com. And it's the world's largest website on how-to information.
How-to anything?
Yeah, there's 256 pages or something on it. So
wow.
I went to the end. I went to the 256th page.
Uh-huh.
And it's something about how to date a woman way out of your league.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, but why is it on page 256?
Because that's the kind of information you need early in the day.
Yes, what the hell?
You maybe need that before you need to know how to freeze a padlock off.
Which is another one they do, yeah. Magic Don Juan. Has a new dating site online.
Oh. I don't know what this is.
Oh, it's spectacular. It's really...
You familiar with hookers?
Yeah.
Okay, then you know what this is.
Are you familiar with the Mountain of Black and Night?
Yeah.
Put those two together.
Okay.
Also, we're going to talk to Anel, our K-Rock Black listener, who is going to explain to us Tyler Perry. And how
good.
Every project he does is a runaway, unbelievable smash.
He is the most reliable, money-making filmmaker in Hollywood.
And how not one of us has ever seen
one
of his films,
one of his movies, one of his TV shows, books, plays. The guy's an empire, and we know nothing about him.
Me told me yesterday that he got signed to 100 episodes of his TV show. 100 episodes.
Stunning.
And when they're super confident, they'll give you a season tops.
Yeah, 22 is it, man. That's the best you'll ever do.
Most of the time it's like 6, and then they'll see how you do. It's like 100 episodes.
Wow.
Is what Bean's claiming. I don't believe it.
Happens to be true in this case.
And they're setting up in the next room. I see drums. I see amps. I see a mixing board. We have Jimmy Eat World coming in today. They got a new CD, and they're going to perform live.
Good stuff, too, this new album.
I think so, too.
Really good.
And if you missed it, we talked to Dave Duchovny about Californication yesterday.
And other things.
Way, way, way late in the show. Yeah, and a movie that he's got coming out Friday, too. So we'll give you some highlights of that. Coming up just after 6 o'clock, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Anyway, Ralph is out for another couple of days. He will be back. Don't worry. We are trying to keep his seat warm with the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Let's see what's going on. The big news, of course. Last night, around 9:20, Britney Spears drove herself to the police station.
Yep.
Checked herself in. She got booked. I have not seen a mugshot yet. Has anyone else seen one?
No,
I have not.
Although it's hardly fair when you've got the time to prepare for your mugshot.
Yeah, but she's big enough. It would take like 2 mugshots side by side.
And you realistically think Britney Spears got all dolled up?
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Rolled out of bed. She's the mess.
That's true. She hasn't been dolled up since 2003. You're right about that.
Take the picture already. I got to go eat.
This was, in case you forgot, this was the misdemeanor charges of hit and run. She was the doofus who knew she was on video, hit somebody else's car, and said tee-hee, and then got in her car and drove away, even though the whole thing was on video.
This is unbelievably
Which
stupid.
Is pretty stupid, yeah. Anyway, she's wearing a black mini dress, black leather jacket, silver chains around her neck, walked into the Van Nuys facility around 9:25. We are told that this is TMZ reporting. We are told that cops offered her the back entrance.
Hey, all right then.
But she declined, opting to go in the front door. It doesn't say it here because she's a camera whore.
Yes.
She wanted to make sure her picture got taken for the 2,000th time that day. LA City Attorney charged Spears in September with 1 count of hit and run causing property damage and 1 count of driving without a valid California driver's license. Both charges are misdemeanors, each carrying a maximum of 6 months in jail. So, anyway, she is. There must be a mugshot somewhere. I think she enters a plea next Thursday, I believe.
Okay, fantastic. Paris Hilton is talking about going to Rwanda.
Well, that was the kind of thing she said she was going to do when she got out of jail instead of partying all the time.
Heading to Rwanda on a trip she hopes will allow her to leave her mark on the world and possibly create another reality TV show.
No.
Well, I don't know that that's...
You made that up.
I didn't. And by the way, that's Reuters. That's not like...
Tabloids.
Yeah. Are you serious?
That's what it says. And possibly make another reality show. I mean, maybe she thinks cameras will follow her there, and when she says...
That's hot.
It'll be true because it's really hot in Rwanda. She says she's a changed person. She vowed to shed her party girl image. Before, life was about going out and getting drunk, and now she's talking about going to Rwanda.
What is she going to do there?
She is going to be visiting schools, which is funny, because she can attend while she's there, and healthcare clinics.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's going to be doing.
Well,
she's
that'll be really helpful for all of them.
She's going to be traveling with a children's charity called Playing for Good, where it helps kids learn to drink. So that's... maybe not.
That sounds appropriate.
Yeah.
How about this movie? Michael Gondry, who's a fantastic director, he's the guy who did The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Is doing a new movie. It is a big screen film about Debbie Harry of Blondie. And Kirsten Dunst will play Debbie Harry.
Oh, right now.
So it really has everything, Kevin, that you look for.
Well, okay. That's what we're looking for.
It has a subject in which you have no interest, played by an actress whom you loathe.
106.7 K-Rock, KOQ. Rodney on the Rock.
What are you
right
doing,
here.
Rodney?
That has always been my very favorite Blondie song.
Oh, no. We didn't play
in the
one.
The Sun from Blondie.
We're just talking about
first
the
Blondie album.
We just did a story.
And to this day, Blondie never does that song.
Her name's Debbie Harry, actually.
Live in concert.
Her name is Blondie.
They used to do that when they played the Starwood and the Whiskey A Go-Go and stuff. And
right.
I remember Jenny Lind.
We don't have time
pictures
for...
of Blondie when she did that song. And
Debbie
Harry's dress flew up, and then Debbie was really mad when that picture was printed.
All right, thanks.
But anyway, that's a song that they never do live for some odd reason. It's a great song. In the Sun, Blondie.
Okay.
Here's a new song from the Polyphonic Spree.
We don't have time for any...
God.
spree, the polyphonic spree.
Right. Easy for you to say. Anyway, Debbie Harry asked about the casting choice on Spinner.com, said that Kirsten is a sweetie and that she thinks she can handle the role. The movie is in pre-production and it will happen. So there you go.
Spinner.com, of course, is a sex website in Thailand, right?
No.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right. Jay Leno is not quite ready to leave. We've been talking about this story for a long time. They announced in 2009 that he was going to quit The Tonight Show. Just step down. And we always thought, well, that seems weird.
Well, why they did it is because Conan was being wooed by other networks, so they needed to guarantee he would stay with NBC. So they said, okay, what if we give you The Tonight Show in 5 years? And at the time, everybody was like, 5 years, who cares? But now that it's getting close to the 5 years, Conan is slated to take over, and Jay Leno apparently having second thoughts about giving it up.
Having a good time. You have to keep going.
$40 million a year or whatever he's making over there.
Wow. NBC's trying to convince Leno that he could stay at the network, perhaps with a prime time show. But they don't see that happening. So it sounds like we might be heading for some kind of a I don't want to step down right now showdown.
What, late night wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
How about that?
Again? Wow.
So we've been asking about that for a long time because that seemed like a weird decision to make at the beginning.
Yeah, but if that's what they promised Conan to keep him there, they really can't back out, can they?
Maybe they could be a team.
All right. You do Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays this week. I'll do Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a bad, you know, it's a good problem to have too much talent, you know. But, yeah, I don't know how there's a way to handle that to make them both happy.
Wow.
That's for sure. Maybe Jay will just move an hour later. Maybe Jay will come on after Conan.
Oh, sure. That'd be good with him, I'm sure.
Here's an actress that we used to hear about every minute of every day, always, and not so much anymore, and that's Jennifer Aniston. Seems like she's been laying kind of low, but she has done an interview with Harper's Bazaar, which, by the way, is out this month with their 140th anniversary issue.
140th?
Harper's Bazaar. Started in 1867 and is still on newsstands every single month.
They didn't have paper in 1867, did they?
Here's some of the things she said in the interview. If you like Jennifer Aniston, maybe you care. She says that she admires and likes Oprah Winfrey so much that she'd like to be her for a day. Although, who would want to carry around an extra 300 pounds?
Too much weight.
She also said if she worked for the government, and I don't know how this conversation got started, if she worked for the government, she'd like to be a glamorous spy who plays poker in Monaco.
Casino Royale, exactly? Is that what she's talking about?
She says some things in the article that fuel speculation that she may be moving to New York City. She says one of the things she loves about being in New York is it's a lot easier to get around with anyone recognizing her. And of course, in Los Angeles, she's such a constant target of the paparazzi, and everybody's always bugging her for things. They asked her about Friends, and she said that Friends was great, nothing but blessings, but she does kid about the show's opening scenes asking who actually dances around in a fountain. And when you look at it, it is kind of gay and kind of dumb.
Yeah, you would think, right?
So she genuinely seems like a nice person, and she is a good actress.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
that. Yeah, sure. But there's way too many stories about her in the tabloids.
She is the most popular tabloid cover seller, though. I mean, you know, they do those statistical analysis of the percentage of magazines that sell with who on the cover. She's number one, Jennifer Aniston.
That's true. Rolling Stones guitarist Ron Wood said he knew he had a serious drug problem when Keith Richards told him to slow down.
Ooh.
Keith Richards said, you might want to go a little easy on the drugs. And I don't know anyone that looks like they've taken more drugs than Keith Richards.
No kidding.
But that's one of the stories in Wood's new autobiography called, very creatively, Ronnie.
Hey.
All right. Yeah. One time on tour, Keith smashed Ronnie's crack pipe and cut him with the broken bottle.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Ronnie ran down the hall to complain to Mick Jagger.
Dad!
Hey, he cut me with my own pipe.
He broke my stuff.
The singer ignored the blood dripping on the carpet and then was asking him about a new song and what he should do. He also said Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan were the greatest musicians he'd ever met. Remembers being so poor that when he was on tour with Rod Stewart, they had to steal hard-boiled eggs in order to eat.
Well, that's just sad.
Had to steal them. And the night Mick yelled at Elton John when he wouldn't get off the stage during a guest spot at a Stones concert. How cool would that be? Elton, get off the stage! It's time for us to come out there again. And also the fondest memory of the Who's drummer Keith Moon driving a Jeep through a plate glass window of a hotel.
Oh yeah,
he was
God.
A partier.
Walking into the lobby and asking the night clerk for a key to his room.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you imagine driving your car into a hotel?
Destroyed everything they touched.
And the guy's trying to figure out, like, how do I make sense of this in my mind? Can I have my key, please? I need to go to my room.
Well, I mean, a guy in a band like the Rolling Stones for the last 30 years has certainly got stories to tell. And finally, John Mayer, stop it with the Minka Kelly. Apparently, you know my girlfriend from Friday Night Lights?
Of course.
Sure.
Why? How? But
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
I don't. I know he's a good musician and stuff. I don't know how he gets hotties. John Mayer.
He gets them all.
Isn't he, like, so dweeby?
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's a musician.
You know what?
It never matters.
I think she is gorgeous.
She is.
I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person.
That's what we're
saying. The only thing I am worried about is getting a boner.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other thing is, if you can get with one really hot chick, then all the other hot women think there must be something there.
That's true.
I guess so.
You score one, then everybody else goes, wow, he must have something going on.
I'm no school administrator,
right,
but there's an extension program going on in my trousers.
Okay. They just met last month, and they've been going nonstop ever since. According to Star Magazine, they're together every single day just to... just pisses me off because she should be waiting for me. That's all I'm saying. Anyway,
wait. She shouldn't be with you. She should be waiting for you?
Well, she could be with me now, but, you know, I've got some things I got to take care of first.
Yeah, sure.
Shallow grave. John Mayer, by the way, 30 today. It is his birthday. Let's see who else. How about our pal Flea, one of the nicest guys we know from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He is 45 years old today. Academy Award winning actor and director Tim Robbins turns 49. Wendy Wilson from Wilson Phillips. I don't think she's the fat one. I think she's the hot one.
Okay.
I think. Suzanne Summers from the Thighmaster.
Will this thing work for the inner thighs?
She's 61. And my girlfriend, Angela Lansbury.
Oh, dear God.
82 years old today. So
why do you give old people a
bell? How old?
Well, she's 82.
82.
But she doesn't look a day over 79, Lisa. That's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat. I don't know that Kevin is prepared to hear this tape, Lisa. That's my fear, is that we'll lose him for the rest of the day because he won't want to talk about anything else.
That's possible with Kevin.
I am easily sidetracked by certain topics.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
Let me see what else we may need for this one.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
And maybe one more to be safe.
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right, so Producer Lightning is...
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
Producer Lightning is on the internet yesterday, and
this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
And he's doing what a lot of people do when they're looking to waste time because they hate their jobs and their lives, and he's, you know, trolling through YouTube. And he came across this video, and it may be the greatest thing any of us have ever seen in our lives.
Fantastic.
And it is available at krock.com. You do not have to go searching for it. It's available at krock.com in the internet download. Is that what we're calling it?
Roundup. No, internet roundup.
internet roundup section of the Kevin and Bean page. Go to videos, and you'll see internet roundup, and you'll see this video. This is an actual newscast from a station in Idaho talking about the menace in their town known as the Phantom Pooper.
Yes! I love that.
Well, we live in eastern Idaho where it's not hard to go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
But one local neighborhood can barely breathe because of a disgusting, gross, vile stench in the air.
Okay.
Wow.
These newscasters, by the way, you're going to think it's a Saturday Night Live sketch,
yeah,
but they are real. They are on the radio. And they, you know,
this
is... When I tell you that it's called the Phantom Pooper, it gives you an idea of where this story is headed. And you think that due to the content matter, I don't know, dial it back. Maybe not so much with the disgusting and with the gross. Why not? Why try so hard to make the story worse than it needs to be?
Right.
Yeah.
But they sure do.
Jolynn, that's right. I wanted to see what all this stink was about. Phew, and boy, did I find out.
Oh, dear God.
Oh,
stop
it. This is
it.
Just the beginning.
Now, I do have to warn you, what I found was disgusting, so if you have a queasy stomach, you might want to look away during parts of this.
A phantom pooper is taking a squat just out back of one Idaho Falls neighborhood.
If the wind blows the right direction, you can smell it through our back door.
Okay, how much detail do you need
really
from the people?
Well, I like to know that he's taking a squat.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good
to know.
That's
I
good.
Like to know his position.
Do you really?
What other position do you do? Do you do it running? I mean, you pretty much have to.
Do you need to interview everyone who's ever seen a poop about what it's like?
What do you think about the Phantom Pooper?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there are some things that are given.
Yeah.
You could maybe leave something to the imagination in this story.
I'd like to catch the person, though. I think it's disgusting. He should be put in jail.
Here's the scoop on the poop. The city has gotten so many calls about the Phantom Pooper,
They've set up a pooper stakeout.
By the way, did somebody go from K-Rock to, where is this, Idaho?
Idaho.
Yeah, Idaho Falls.
We had the same problem here for many years.
I know we did.
See if they could catch him doing his business.
But from what I understand, they still haven't caught him yet. Even though they've staked out the area and sat and watched, they still haven't caught up with him yet.
What'd you do today, honey? I sat. I was hidden, and I was watching for a phantom poop. All day.
What kind of newscast goes to the neighborhood to ask whether the guy's been caught, by the way? Don't they have police sources? Why are you interviewing people who live nearby about whether the guy's been caught or not?
Sir, do you hear anything about him being caught? We're not sure.
Is there any news you can tell us?
Here are the clues to the phantom pooper's identity as we know them.
Right.
His preferential place to leave a log is under the Lindsay Boulevard overpass.
This kind of detail.
Why do they have to say that?
I don't know.
Why can't they just say this is where he's been seen doing it?
I don't know why they have to work every euphemism possible in.
He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it. But,
come
listen to
on.
How long this story
yes.
is.
Well,
this
it doesn't.
Is like half their news.
You know they don't have any other news.
Oh my god, they must have something else.
He's finger painting with
he's
it.
He's a
come
Rembrandt.
On.
It's Jed. It's totally Jed.
It might be Jed. You're right
Jed,
about
yeah.
that. You know, leave their mark and go.
He does leave his mark. And he certainly goes and goes and goes. Oh.
What is wrong with
and
them?
And they are showing it to you now.
It's on the video.
It's showing the, not the guy.
The finger
actual,
painting, yes.
Yes, where he goes and goes and goes.
The finger painting.
Yeah,
oh, my
that doesn't
God.
Is that unbelievable?
Hold on one sec.
This program may contain scenes of violence, strong language, adult situations, and nudity, and therefore may be unsuitable for children under 17. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. But he even uses toilet paper. If you gotta go, you gotta go, you know?
I mean, okay, once. You know, if you have an accident once, but...
All right, listen, let's say you're under the overpass, and you don't know where a bathroom is, you have to go. What are you gonna do? Once is fine.
This has happened several times. You, when you have to go, you know a little while in advance. I mean, hello? Bathrooms and toilet tissue are not a new concept. They've been around for a while.
Okay, do they really need to interview people on how it works when you've got to poop?
Yes.
Do they really need that to be part of the story?
Ma'am, do you know how that feels just before? Tell us what you know.
What do you suppose is going through the phantom pooper's mind right before he lays a log?
Now, I must tell you that in addition to the stakeouts, the city has been cleaning up this mess whenever it happens. And the neighbors we spoke with have offered their facilities.
So they're going to more neighbors now? If the phantom pooper showed up, would you let him in your house to use your bathroom?
I can't imagine there's any story in 2007 they've covered with more minutes on air than this one, by the
no.
way. Listen to this story. It's still going on.
But until the phantom takes them up on the offer, I guess they'll just have to deal with the situation with a little bathroom humor. For Channel 3 Eyewitness News, I'm Mary Sturgill.
Oh, Mary's got to be proud.
Wow.
She probably recorded that and sent it to her folks. Look at what I did.
It's like her first story on TV.
Look,
we need to get Mary on the phone.
Maybe we'll try, yeah. It's an unpleasant story, and, you know, I feel bad for the people who had to cover it. But there would have been a way to make it a little easier for the viewer to take. I'll tell you that.
There's a lot of words they use that you don't really have to, because I'm pretty sure everyone understands what pooping is.
Right, right.
Wow, that's fantastic.
There you go.
We've got to get that chick Mary. We have to get her on the phone.
Great idea.
We have to ask her about that and ask her how many of the interviews she cut out of the piece.
So it's Internet Roundup on the video page, Kevin and Bean section, krock.com. Really, you got to see the story to really be able to smell it.
Live music from Jimmy Eat World coming up in a little while.
I hope we're going to be able to hear them. I don't know. I'm not quite sure they have enough equipment.
Yeah, they brought enough to play the Rose Bowl.
What is up with that?
I can't walk down the hall. They have so much equipment. They're blocking our door.
I thought those were the old days when we had to have people sing in the hallway.
Yeah.
They do know we have microphones, right? They don't need to be loud enough that everybody can hear it by opening their windows.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what the setup is. I've never seen a setup like this before.
We plan to actually broadcast the performance.
Yeah.
So we'll take care of the amplification part of it. Anyway, Jimmy Eat World in the 8 o'clock hour. Brand new CD out today, by the way, and we've had the opportunity to preview, and it is very good.
It is, yes.
This could be a lot of fun to have those guys on.
Remember the Homeboy Bakery?
I do not.
Yes.
It's a charity thing in Los Angeles started by Father Gregory Boyle.
Oh, yeah, that dude.
And they started this homeboy bakery so that gang members would have something to do rather than get in trouble. So they would go down to this place and they would work. They would sell stuff. Well, it burned down, what, 7 years ago? Eight years ago?
That Father Boyle, by the way, best guy in the world.
Is he?
That's all that dude does is make neighborhoods good again and give people second chances. It's unbelievable the work that he's done.
It's a nonprofit thing. Former gang members, at-risk youths, was founded nearly 20 years ago. Well, the bakery burned down in 1999 and they finally reopened it. They actually just got it opened, I think, either this week or last.
October 23rd. It opens officially on October the 23rd.
So it's going to be open coming up. That's what I meant to say, yes.
So they take these gang members and they send them to professional baking classes, and then they put them to work in the place, and they get a job out of it, and it puts a business in the community that needs it, and it's just a win-win-win. And we thought, well, maybe after the last story, maybe we need to cleanse the palate a little bit with some good news. So let's dial up the Homeboy Bakery and find out what they've got planned for the big grand opening.
Lightning already has them on hold for
us. Oh, good. Okay. Fantastic.
Good morning.
What's up?
Hi, is this the Homeboy Bakery? Kevin and Bean calling for the interview?
What's up? Hey, Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
That our producer... What's up? It's Rudy, eh? What's happening?
Rudy?
What's up, eh?
What are you doing? Are you? Is this the Homeboy Bakery?
I'm baking.
You...
Crazy baking.
Rudy... How long do you hold a job? Because no matter what stories in the news we call, you always seem to be working there.
Whatever. It's like, look, I mean, sometimes, you know, I go to work and then I'll be at one job and the boss will be like, hey, you got to do things this way. You got to show up at work on time. I'll be like, whatever, eh? You know, recognize, okay? 13th Street, I'll shank you. And they're like, you better find a new job. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. I don't know that recognize is really the appropriate response. When your boss says do it this way, go ahead. I mean, there's a reason for it. Go ahead and do it this way.
I'm an outlaw. I play by my own rules, eh? That's right.
Now, are you like the guy in this article that I heard about that took the professional baking class at the Los Angeles Trade Tech College, so now you know how to cook?
Yeah, that's right. Eh? Like, I started taking some baking classes, you know what I'm saying? I went over there, and I started putting some stuff in the oven and, like, whipping up some batter.
Right.
And then next thing you know, they gave me a job. Now I'm, like, manager over here at the Homeboy Bakery.
You're not the manager,
I am, man. Like, listen, you know, people walk in, and then, like, I greet them, and I'm like, welcome to the Homeboy Bakery. Like, every Mexican woman, there's always a bun in our oven.
That's the motto?
Nice. That's our motto, eh? Clean, huh?
So, I can't believe you have people working for you, by the way. That's Freddie. What? Tell us about the bakery. We've not been down to the new location, but is it going to be cool?
It's awesome, man. Like, it's a fully functional bakery. We got everything you could ever want.
Right.
But it's just got, like, a little, like cholo flavor. You know what I'm saying? Like, a little cholo flavor to everything. Like, for instance, like... Like, we got the Brown Pride brownies,
right,
you know what I'm saying? They're like normal brownies, but they got, like, you know, special edition, you know what I'm saying?
I think I do.
And then, like you like cupcakes, right, Bean?
Of course, I love cupcakes.
You love our what's up cakes.
Your what's up cakes?
What's up cakes, not cupcakes, what's up cakes.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up cakes.
Is the item the same, just a different name?
I guess, eh? No, extra ingredient.
No.
Crazy.
Have you run all of this stuff by Father Gregory Boyle?
You like pie, Lisa May?
Sure.
You like pie?
I do.
You like banana cream pie?
Yeah.
You love bandana cream pie. Bandana cream pie.
That's one of your specialties?
Yeah, it's like banana cream pie, but bandana.
Right, but that's funny and all, but you don't put a bandana in the mix,
no,
do you?
No, but I wear one when I bake it.
All right, that's good.
Hey, no, we don't just make, like, baked goods either. Like, we got, like, accoutrements, too. We got, like, a little add-ons, you know what I'm saying? You want some toast, you know, you're going to bake some toast, you need some jams, right?
Right, sure.
So we got the Art LeBeau slow jams.
That sounds like it'd be a very popular
Including
item.
Including the Home Boysenberry preserves, eh? They taste real good.
Wow.
Real good. Come in, you want me, like, a lot of people in L.A., they're, like, real health conscious. You know,
sure.
So they come, they want a salad,
right?
You know, so like I got like our own homemade dressings here.
Fantastic.
That scares me.
What are they?
The Oscar de la Hoya cross dressings.
That should be big in the Latino community.
Oh, it's clean. They got a picture of the golden boy with his fishnets on, all clean on the front. It's nice, eh?
That'll be a big seller.
It's nice, yeah. And like, you know what? Also, by the way, catering is available.
Now, that is true. I did hear that you are also going to be offering outtake. Yeah,
but we don't do catering. We do raidering. Raiders!
See, because the Raiders.
We just, like, I mean, right now, raidering is just like we show up to your house for your party, we drink all your stuff, and then shank people.
I don't think that's the same as normal food takeout catering, yeah.
Whatever.
All right. All right, Rudy. Well, best of luck, I guess. You have employees and the whole deal, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of, like, fine hinas over here. You know what I'm saying? We don't get a lot done, but, you know.
Wait a minute. Sad Girl have a job there?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I got to bring the hina with me wherever I go.
Can we talk to Sad Girl?
All right, hold on.
Fantastic. This is great.
Hey, bitch. Hey.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Hey,
come on,
Rudy.
Don't talk to her that way.
Hello.
Hi, Sad Girl.
Oh, crazy. Scandalous.
How have you been?
Well, good, stupid. How are you?
Very good.
Oh, me, I'm on the radio.
Right, you sure are. What about Rudy and his latest occupation, being the homeboy baker? What do you think of that?
He's so good to me.
Is he?
Yeah, he buys me teddy bears and takes me to the fair, holds my hand with his money that he makes from his job. It's crazy. Scandalous.
Right. This is a non-profit, though, right?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay, because he has side business, you know. You come to Homeboy Bakery, you could buy the mota from Rudy.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's supposed to be going on.
Oh, okay. Keep it quiet then, stupid scandalous.
Now, what is your role there at Homeboy Bakery?
Oh, I do my nails, and then I shave my eyebrows, and I show my chichi through my white blouse.
Right, but I mean, what do you do there?
I show my chichis through my white blouse.
I see. Okay. That'll get a lot of business in.
That's probably good advertising.
You understand, he was a phantom pooper, and they were having some trouble catching him, so they sent a camera crew out there, Kevin, and interviewed neighbors about it in great detail for a very long time.
I don't think it was you, Jed.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a tough story right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ralph's out for a couple of days. He will be back. It's Kevin and Bean here at 6:51 on the world-famous K-Rock, looking at the showbiz beat. Let's start with a very bizarre story. Lisa, you were telling us about this one. Ellen DeGeneres caught in the middle of a doggy tug-of-war.
This seems wrong. She adopted a dog from an organization in Pasadena. And many of these organizations have they investigate your home and everything. And then you sign something that says if the dog doesn't work out, give it back to them because they want to make sure it gets a good home.
Right. So, which, by the way, is admirable because they don't want people to go, oh, I don't like the dog. And they just, take him to the pound or put him out on the street or something like that. I understand where they're coming from.
So the dog did not get along with her cats.
Okay.
And she actually spent quite a bit of money having the dog trained and trying to fix the problem, but they couldn't. So she ended up giving the dog to her hairdresser, who has two daughters around 9 years of age. She talked about it on her TV show. The organization heard about it and was furious and went to the hairdresser's house and took the dog. Now,
they went to the house with the kids with the new home
the dog.
And stole the dog.
Now, I understand if they want to go to the house and make sure it's a good home.
Right.
Fine, but it doesn't sound like they did any investigation. She violated the agreement and they went and got the dog and that's that.
By the way, showed up at the hairdresser's house, Kevin, and with the, this family, including the young kids, showed up with police.
Yeah.
With police to take the dog away.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, the kids are devastated because they're bonding with this dog who apparently got along great with that family. Everybody loves him. The dog was happy. The people were happy. The agency rep and the organization, by the way, is called Mutts and Moms. It's a dog adoption agency. They say, that's just the policy. I mean, you got to let us know what's going on with our dogs. I mean, that's why we exist is for the benefit of the dog.
But, and I get that, but wouldn't it just make more sense to go and see if it's a
decent
home?
Yes, of course
and if it
would.
Leave the dog there.
If that's really your goal, of course.
Ellen's now begging for them to let them have the dog.
If you want to be mad at me, be mad at me, but don't take it out on the family and don't take it out on the dog. And by the way, let's not forget the most important part of this story, and I feel bad for the dog and bad for the little kids that like the dog. Don't make Portia de Rossi cry. I mean, don't get my beautiful, precious Portia upset. You know what I mean?
No.
That's a bad story.
It is.
I'm not pleased with Mutts and Moms, by the way.
to admit.
Kevin Federline is back in the news. I told you the other day that he was filming One Tree Hill in Wilmington, North Carolina.
And we said, liar!
Yeah, and just to make sure everybody doesn't forget that he's a douchebag as well, he was smoking pot all over the place. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, just in front of everyone, no problem.
That's how he rolls.
Good dad guy?
So he was all over the set, saw nothing wrong with
it. The one who got custody of the children? Yes. That's who we're talking about?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with it because the habit is, quote, just part of his lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Now, trust me, I can understand that he's going to do that in his trailer, around the corner, but just in front of everybody, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's not good.
Little ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
It may be part of your lifestyle, still illegal, and you got to be careful with that.
And
Shouldn't be in child custody hearings.
Right, this can get back to the judge. You could lose your kids.
Not only that, but here's part of the problem with the alimony and with the child support and stuff like that is once you pay that person, you don't have any say over how they spend it.
Right.
So as you know, his sole source of income has been Brittany.
Yes.
Ever since he married her. Apparently, he's very good at spending it. One bartender in the town says that that KFED once left him $600 for two beers.
Yeah. That's how he rolls.
You will use that cash up fast at that rate.
That's how he rolls without his own money. Of course, it is Britney's. Hey, keep it. What do I care?
But he is making $200 a day working on One Tree Hill, Kevin. So it's not like he doesn't have some income coming
in. Really, I'd like to go back again to he's an working actor. Let's go back to that again.
I know. I don't get it. Please don't watch One Tree Hill for that reason, all right? Hey, while we're talking about spending too much money, there's a report in News of the World that Lindsay Lohan is broke.
Really?
She, by the way, does she have a house? Do we know if she even has a house?
I don't think she does. She's lived in hotels, right?
No, she was living in the Chateau Marmont, but at the same, she had two spec houses in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And she had sold those both recently, about a half a year ago, and then bought a new one. But I don't know if she lives in it or not.
Well, according to this report, again from News of the World, which is a tabloid in Britain, she is staying in the guest house of a friend of hers, the executive producer of that last movie she did, That I Know Who Killed Me. His name is Tom Gore. She's staying in his house. She's not staying in her own house. And I don't know whether that means she doesn't have one or not. Talk about an extravagant spender. She recently had $1 million hotel bill.
What?
Maybe that's the Chateau Marmont, which she stayed at for a very long time.
Right. I mean, for months.
You check out and you go,
how do you
would you like to put that on your card, Miss Lohan?
How do you rack up $1 million?
Because the place is like $350 a night where she was at the suite she was staying in, and she was there for like 8 months now.
But still, it sounds like a lot of room service to me to add up. Let's not forget $137,000 in rehab costs. Thousands of dollars in legal fees after her multiple drunk driving convictions. I mean, you got to figure that doesn't come cheap, you know?
Sure.
So you add all that up and you've got someone who's not making or selling records. You've got somebody who is making probably a decent fee for movies, but it's not like, you know, that fee has been going up. The movies aren't hitting. So she could be in a real cash crunch right now.
Well, what about the new movie that she's going to start working on? They pay you. How do they pay you on movies? I don't know.
I don't know.
Up front? Or?
I'm not sure how that works either. Hmm. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, I guess for her, ideally, she'll get at least some sort of an advance before she starts work on Monday. But she'll be hooking by the end of the year the way this is going.
Well, in a perfect world. Howard K. Stern is creepy and weird.
Yes.
That's not news, Kevin.
New York Daily News says that apparently he still has Anna Nicole Smith on his voicemail, as on his answering machine.
Anna?
She still says, hi, it's me. You know what to do, so do it. Thanks. Bye. Date and number. Kiss. Bye. Mwah.
I was talking about this with my wife last night, and she gives Howard K. Stern the benefit of the doubt on this one because this is, if you believe him, the woman that he loved, and it's hard to erase that. Her voice, if you've got it.
I don't believe him for a second. I don't. I think the worst of him. For some reason, he just strikes me as...
Use.
Yes.
No, I know.
And got into that situation, and somehow her son died, you know, whatever. I don't know what the details are, but I don't trust him any further than I can throw him.
But take him out of the picture for 1 second. Picture normal person. Would you, for instance,
yes,
if your wife were on the answering machine, would you leave her voice on the answering machine?
I think I would save it, but I don't think I would.
Save it and record it, but I wouldn't have it for other people to hear.
Yeah. Don't you think if you call his house now to hear her voice, it's a little weird, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That seems odd.
Yeah, well, he is creepy and weird. Whether he's in the right on this one or not, that does not make him any less creepy and weird. He just is.
Plus, don't forget, you can't understand a word she says. So how are people going to know what to do?
Yeah, that's true. People are calling going, I don't know. There's some kid that answered the phone. I don't know.
Like my vibe.
Sure, yeah. And finally, Amy Winehouse in the news. By the way, she's been out of rehab a couple of weeks now, and so far has not fallen off that we've heard about.
Heard anything.
She seems to be doing okay. But listen to this. You know, she's the singer that's got the one who does the song Rehab, the one who's got the crazy beehive hairdo, the hair that's you know, 4 feet in the air. Well, she just found out, she was horrified to learn that the hair extensions that she uses in her hair may come from unethical sources. Apparently, there is a black market for hair, for real human hair that they make these hair waves out of.
Really?
Using Romanian orphans.
What?
So,
Romanian orphans?
How about that?
So they just cut their hair against their will and sell it?
So these orphanages are like profiting?
Yes, they're selling the kids' hair.
Oh, that's
making
so
weaves out of it.
Creepy.
How about that?
Wow.
Anyway, she just found out about it. She's devastated, by the way. Apparently there is a group called Beauty Hurts, I guess is what the name is. And they're, you know, one of the things they spread the word on is this real hair racket. When Amy found out about it, she says she's donating $100,000 to an orphanage in Romania, which, by the way, will get her a lot of hair.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
For that kind of dough,
she can grow her own.
That's all the wigs she could ever want. But
wow, that's scary.
Isn't that a weird story?
Yeah, that's bizarre. Huh. You said that was your last story, so I was...
Oh, are you done, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to speak for you. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. How about John Mayer? Tremendous guitar player. If you don't mind watching a dude make the O face while he plays on stage.
Oh, that's a face we don't ever need to see.
Ever, ever, ever. He is 30. Our friend Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 45 years old today. You've never met a drug addict in better shape than Flea, by the way. Looks fantastic, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Looks great. Terrific guy. Tim Robbins, Academy Award-winning actor-director, is 49 years old today. And Suzanne Somers probably will always be best known for Three's Company and made millions and millions of dollars with the Thighmaster, is 61. And that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Hey, assistant producer Alex Superhore has joined us here this morning. Hey, Alex.
Uh-oh, this cannot be good.
How dare you?
Why? Because we're talking about Sex Addicts Anonymous?
Oh, awesome. Bring it.
Is that why?
Sweet.
Alex had a quiz for us online here about sexual addiction. And the reason it came up was there were a couple stories yesterday in the Showbiz Report that made us start talking about sex addicts. One is it was Eric Benet's birthday.
Halle Berry, right?
He's the tool that cheated on Halle Berry, and the talk all at the time was that he couldn't help himself. He couldn't stop himself. He just had to bang everything he saw.
Right.
And by the way, cheating on Halle Berry, come on. And then we were also talking about Lindsay Lohan, who it was rumored was having some problems in a couple of different rehab facilities that she's been to because she was always like hooking up with somebody in the rehab facility. And counselors say, look, it's substituting one addiction for another. You gotta be satisfied with yourself first before you start going on with all these other weak behaviors. So that was in the news. And then we were finally talking about Samara Armstrong from the Dirty Sexy Money, who has some sort of unspecified personal issue to work out.
Yeah. I like how I thought it was an eating disorder, and you hope she's a sex addict.
Well, you know, you got to hope for the best.
Yeah, I hope she's a sex addict. So then that kind of got us onto the topic, and that's when we realized that Alex answered yes to 11 out of 12 questions on the sex addict quiz.
And we will take your calls if you are addicted, or especially if you've attended a sex addicts meeting.
Yes, Sex Addicts Anonymous. Yes.
That seems like it would be the best place to meet somebody else
wasn't
who wants to have sex.
Wasn't it a Fight Club where Edward Norton's character goes to Sex Addicts Anonymous meetings to hook up?
Yeah, to hook up, of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, now, look, everyone in the room is a sex addict. How about that?
That's awesome.
We'll start hitting on them.
Before we take your calls, and we do want them at 1-800-520-1067, we kind of have to define, because I know guys will call and say, oh, dude, I'm totally a sex addict. But I think we're talking about beyond just the regular urge that you want to bang every chick you see, because that's pretty normal.
I will give you an example. There was a guy I used to work with when I was
and
a
by
broker,
work with, you mean?
And he was gay.
Uh-huh.
And we would, you know, have a lunch hour, and he would leave, and he would be late 3 out of 5 days because he would hook up with some guy and have sex.
Three out of 5 days?
A week.
Wow.
He couldn't stop himself. And these are anonymous guys. I don't exactly know where he went to pick them up, but
a lot of people do Craigslist.
He was going to lose his job.
Are you sure Craigslist? It wasn't just a wide stance? Are you sure it was gay sex?
Sure it was gay There's sex. Like a meeting form on Craigslist, and you can literally look up, hey, Tuesday, 12:30, anybody? And people
hook up on Craigslist a time and a day?
Yeah. Totally.
And a bathroom stall?
I've heard allegedly.
All right, here are the 12 questions. Let's go through them real quick. Alex, do you keep secrets about your sexual or romantic activities from those important to you?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Yes. Two, have your needs driven you to have sex in places or situations or with people you would not normally choose?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Half the people I've had sex with is completely inappropriate.
Go on.
Three. Oh, God.
Three, do you find yourself... Nick. Do you find yourself looking for sexually arousing articles or scenes in newspapers, magazines, or other media?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Bean, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Nakedness
well, that's
is
all guys.
Good.
Yeah, it is all guys.
Four, do you find romantic or sexual fantasies interfere with your relationships or are preventing you from facing problems?
Yes.
Okay. Four. Five, do you frequently want to get away from a sex partner after having sex?
Yes.
You want to bite your arm off
I've
and
totally been
chew
like,
your arm
all
off
right,
and run.
Buddy. That was fun.
Hey,
but
thanks.
It's only been 30 seconds. I know.
Six, do you feel shame about your body or your sexuality such that you avoid touching your body or engaging in sexual relationships?
Oh, that doesn't sound like Alex at all. No.
That's a negative. Okay, so you are 5 out of 6 so far. That's probably pretty high. Seven, does each new relationship continue to have the same destructive patterns which prompted you to leave the last relationship?
I don't view them as destructive, but apparently other people do.
Yes. Okay. So that's a yes.
If by that you mean does she sabotage every great relationship we have so she can move on to the next one, yes, that's what it is.
Yes. All right. Eight, is it taking more variety and frequency of sexual and romantic activities than previously to bring you to the same level of excitement?
I'm just saying I had to put in a swing. That's all.
Oh, yeah. And I heard about, by the way, the ladder in the Viking suit. Believe me, I know what goes on.
Nine, have you ever been arrested or are you in danger of being arrested because of your practices?
I've never been arrested.
Voyeurism, exhibitionism, prostitution, any of that kind of stuff where you could get caught by the law.
No, it wasn't technically prostitution.
Okay. So no. All right.
No.
Look, that cash just fell out of his wallet on your nightstand, Alex.
I just happened to end up with that Tiffany necklace. I don't know how
so
I got
you're
it.
7 out of 9 so far. That's probably
crap.
Pretty. Number 10, does your pursuit of sex or romantic relationships interfere with your spiritual beliefs or development?
No, because I don't. No.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So 7 out of 10.
By the way, she doesn't believe in God. She believes in penis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is her God.
Yeah. That is my God.
11. Do your sexual activities include the risk, threat, or reality of disease, pregnancy, coercion, or violence?
I got a shot that one time.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Alex is careful.
I'm careful, but look, like any girl, if you have sex, there's an 80% chance in your lifetime you're going to have HPV. So, yes. Dang
okay.
It. Yeah.
And finally, has your sexual or romantic behavior ever left you feeling hopeless, alienated, or suicidal?
Not suicidal, but sometimes I've had sex so good, I might kill myself if I don't have it again.
I don't think that's what
No, okay.
Damn.
All right, so what is that? Is that 9, maybe?
I think that's 8 out of 12.
8 out of 12?
Oh, crap.
Yeah,
really?
That's high.
Are you borderline,
now,
sweetie?
Borderline. Now, let me read to you what they say after this quiz. If you answered yes to more than one of these questions.
Oh, that's pretty loose.
We would encourage you to. That's what she said. We would encourage you to seek out additional literature as a resource. Or attend a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting.
Oh, that's ridiculous. One?
No, more than one.
That's all right.
But I would also like to add that Alex doesn't have a lot of adverse effects, really, from her lifestyle or her choice. I mean, she's very happy with it.
I agree.
It's not like she's walking around tortured because of her.
No, there have been periods, though, where I jokingly would say to my friends, I think I'm a sex addict. And then I'd go home and I'd go, I wonder if I am because it can encapsulate so much of your life. And that can be your goal. Like, okay, what do I have to do today? Email Bean, avoid Bean, not talk to Bean. Oh, and try to have sex.
Right, exactly.
Like, those are my goals. Yeah.
Well, I think basically, do you have super negative connotations to your behavior is probably what they're talking about.
Yeah,
if you're happy and healthy and it works, fine. If you're losing work or whatever, relationships, whatever.
But I love this job because I can have sex all I want and I'm still here.
Yeah, true. Actually, we encourage you. We give you the day off if you need
it. It does make you more popular, too, with the boys. Like Lisa points out there, if you're a situation like the friend she described who is in danger of losing his job because of the addiction.
And can't stop.
And can't stop. That, I think, is kind of what we're looking for here. I wonder how many times per – maybe it doesn't matter how many times per week. Maybe it's just the attitude that goes around it. But I wonder how many times per week the average sex addict has sex.
I got to imagine that it does matter.
Also,
actually, if
you're an addict, doesn't it come to the point where you just don't enjoy it? It's like you're chasing the high.
Well, that's what they're saying you don't enjoy what you used to enjoy. You have to do more. That's not a good sign.
It's so miserable not to enjoy sex anymore.
Yeah.
Come on,
people. Richard in San Fernando is on the phone. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
You're a member of Sex Addicts Anonymous.
Yes.
All right.
Fantastic. You're exactly who we want to talk to.
And anybody else that is, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. All right.
What's
Richard.
Up, Alex.
Was it because, first of all,
Dick,
meet
what
Alex.
Are you doing later?
And second of all, is it because your name is Richard? Do you think that contributed to becoming a sex addict?
No.
Okay. What's the deal? How long have you been going to the meetings?
About 5 years.
Why on earth are you trying to quit?
He's not. He's picking up
chicks. I'm not trying to quit. I just have a problem with it. Every time I get laid, I just want to get laid more.
Well, yeah, but that's everybody. Are you kidding? Are you joking with us now?
No, I'm serious as art. I mean, I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I just got an addictive behavior. You know, it's like when I get laid, I just want to, get laid and laid and laid. And I mean, I go out and I look for it and I want it. And
now, what about
are you
the
any,
di-
What about the dangerous side of it? What about the hookers or the voyeurism or exhibitionism or some way of getting caught by the police? Do you do that?
No, I don't go out. I mean, I don't pick up hookers. You know, I'm always on the internet looking for hot, sexy women that want to, you know, have sex and do things. And, you know, and I'm always doing, you know, I mean, I go to meetings. I'm always trying to get women to come over all the time consistently.
Tell us what are the meetings like?
It's just a bunch of individuals, you know. I mean, there's a lot of nymphos in there, and there's a lot of individuals that are just, you know, in the same position as me. That just, you know, they get it, and they just want more of it. It's
but like do they bring out a big poster of Rosie and Oprah and just do everything they can to beat the sex drive out of you?
No. No.
Doesn't it seem like they should separate the men and the women?
Yes,
at least
it does.
In the sex addicts part. Don't you think it would make sense?
I don't know.
Because you walk into a room, they're all nymphos. You go, wow, this is going to be hard to stop.
And Richard, is part of the problem that it's always got to be new so you can't sustain a relationship and be monogamous?
Oh, excuse me?
Like, if you had a girlfriend that you could have sex with as much as you wanted, would that be satisfying to you, or does it always have to be a new conquest for you?
Oh, it don't always have to be new. It's just got to be sick. I mean, I like having it in the morning. I like having it in the afternoon. I like having it at night.
So you'd pretty much kill anyone who actually was with you for any length of time. Dick, have you
ever... I wear them out. They get so mad at me that they're saying, I don't want no more. You got to stop. Yeah.
Really? I mean, you really have had problems keeping a woman around because of your sex drive?
Yes, I have.
Dick, have you ever hooked up with anyone in your Sex Addicts Anonymous group, or do you know of people who do? Is that a really
common?
Yeah,
I've hooked up with a couple of them.
I knew it. That's crazy.
That is.
That's like drug. That's
got
like
a good-looking woman in there that's got the same problem as me, and all she wants to do is have sex.
Right.
You're going to go have sex.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, why not a relationship with one of those women? That kind of stops you from always being on the hunt if you've got somebody with the same problem that you have.
Well, it's, you know, it gets kind of boring. You know, you want to kind of like go around and screw them all if they want to screw.
I don't think they can have a healthy relationship just because they're both into this, because I would think she would also be looking elsewhere at the same time.
Richard, it's fortunate for you if you have this affliction that you are the kind of guy who's able to get women. Can you imagine somebody who has this and then they can't get a woman?
Well, those are the guys probably that start getting arrested for stuff.
I'm a very decent-looking young man, so you know, I don't really have a problem picking up women.
I will tell you how much we appreciate you calling and being candid with this, because I'm sure it's a topic that a lot of people probably identify with and probably don't want to talk about on the radio, but I'm glad you called. All right, dude?
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. All right, we got a bunch of calls on hold, including some guy named Rock.
We go from dick to rock. Are you serious?
Perfect. Sex addict. So you're sitting there in a meeting, and a girl steps up to the microphone, a very hot girl steps up to the microphone and says,
I like meat.
Well, what are you going to do? You're a sex addict. She's a sex addict. Seems like the meeting's the best place to go to meet. It's 1-800-520-1067. A lot of celebrities in the news that are linked somehow, even if it's only in our imagination, to sex addicts. And that's why we're talking about that topic here today. We just had a fantastic call from Richard a couple minutes ago, who's been a sex addict for years and years and years, manages to live with it. Who else we got?
Let's go to Joseph in Chatsworth. Good morning, Joseph.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thanks.
Hi, Joseph.
Right on. All right. Since I was a kid, I lost my virginity when I was 14, okay?
Okay.
Got out of high school when I was 18 years old, decided I love sex. This is all I think about. It occupied my mind every second of every day. So
right.
I decided to get in porn.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, so in front of the camera, of course.
Right.
So I got in porn, and I'm having sex every day of the week.
Right.
Sometimes taking days off, maybe. Sometimes two scenes a day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it occupied every second of my life, my mind. Every girl I looked at, that's still all I think about. I mean, I did porn, lost my family, got depressed. Sex started having reverse effects. Like, I don't know, the guest you have there, the girl, she was saying, like, you don't enjoy it anymore.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly. It was like eating me up. It was like a drug. It is my drug. And
why you turned to gay porn?
No, it wasn't gay porn.
Oh.
Joseph, excuse me if you mentioned this, but did you start going to Sex Addicts Anonymous?
No way. Why would I?
Well, it sounds like there may be some unhappiness.
It's ruining your life.
Because there may be some unhappiness as a result of your addiction. That's why.
I wasn't. I'm happy while it's happening. Like the other guy that called it, I don't know what his
name but people are happy while they're doing cocaine too, but it's the after effects and the effects it has on your family and your job that is why people see pain.
Hey, did it help? fault. That guy is sleeping with everybody in there.
Here, well, that's true. Here's what I like. I like the guy goes, I lost my family. Go to sex with that? Why would I?
Joseph, what would happen? This is just a hypothetical. I don't know what your answer is. What would happen if you just stopped having sex?
Oh, I'd shoot myself, man.
Really? Life isn't even worth living without the vajayjay.
I'm not necessarily going to commit suicide if I don't have sex, but I would be a very miserable person. I would say sex is the most important thing in my life, like hand or fist. Get it?
We're done with you. Thanks.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Thank you for the call, Joseph. And again, thanks for your candor on this. That is exactly what we're talking about with a guy who is 100% occupied with that pursuit.
And no interest in changing it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising. You would think that perhaps if someone had a way to make that not such a problem for you, you'd go for it.
I mean, at least Ralph is able to hold down a job and has a dog.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? At least he's got something else in his life.
Rock in Glendale.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. You are you got a lot of experience in this topic.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about where you're coming from.
Well, I got into recovery when I was 24 years old.
Okay.
And I've got 18 years in recovery. I started out in, I'm not going to identify the different 12-step programs, but
I started out
in one program and ended up in another. And after a few of them, I started to realize that addictions was pervasive.
Right.
And oftentimes one connects to another. And if you're talking about, drug addicts and alcoholics, one of the first things they turn to, which you guys have already identified on your show, is sexual addiction.
Right. Some other kind of addiction to replace it.
Right.
Are you a 911 operator? What's going on in the back there, Rock?
No, I'm a crane operator during the day.
Okay.
Crisis interventionism in the evening.
So you're a counselor now.
Yes, I've been a counselor since 1993.
Is the toughest thing about being a counselor at Sex Addicts Anonymous trying to keep the people there from hooking up with each other?
Well, first of all, you're not a counselor at Sex Addicts Anonymous because that's a 12-step recovery program. And there are no professionals involved in it, per se.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Addiction counselor is something you do at a facility or as a private contractor for facilities.
I got you. Okay.
In layman's terms, what is the biggest thing that you try to get a sex addict to do to be able to mentally change their behavior?
You have to get them to take a look at themselves and what created the addictive behavior patterns. And that's best done, in my opinion, professionally and personally in a 12-step environment. And sometimes you need to do some highly focused counseling or therapy on certain areas of trauma that help create the behavior patterns.
There is a reason in a young person's life that leads them toward becoming a sex addict, some sort of dynamic in the family that causes them to seek that area?
Any addiction, there's always the three primary predispositioning factors, which is genetic, familial, and experiential.
Right.
And one of the things that I mentioned when I was being interviewed for the call is that the internationally renowned expert on sexual addictions is Dr. Patrick Carnes, who used to be the director of addictions at Del Amo Hospital in Torrance. And he's got several books out on the subject. And one of the beautiful things about Dr. Carnes is that he is one of the few professionals in the field who is degreed and recognized, who's trying to bridge the gap between 12-step recovery and the professional environment, because a lot of times they stand in opposition to each other, which
right.
is not useful for the client.
I think I would go to counseling if I had a hot female counselor. I think I would do that.
This doctor you're talking about, by the way, happily married, has 28 children. They couldn't be doing any better.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
See, because he's a sex addict. All right.
Yeah.
We got to take another break, but listen to some of the calls that we have on hold that we're going to ask you to stay.
Let's make sure. Hey, Tiger Lily?
Yeah.
Can you stick around for just one more break? Because we have to take a quick break.
Of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
You hold on. We want to definitely get to you, okay?
She loves sex so much, she became an escort, which is just fantastic. We also have Linda on the line. Please hold on, Linda, who is married to a sex addict and can tell us what that's like to be on the receiving end of that that hammer.
Yeah.
So all of this and more when the Kevin and Bean Show continues right after this in the world famous.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die. Mm. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Mm. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it. Promise?
Well, not this group. Not the crowd we're talking to this morning. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
If you've heard some drumming behind us the last few minutes, it's because Jimmy Eat World is in the next room warming up. They're going to be playing live for us in about 20 minutes or so.
Something weird going on, though. There's like a couple of them in the hallway. There's a few of them over on the sales side. There's like three of them outside.
But in the meantime, we're talking about sex addiction.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Tiger Lily, who was kind enough to hang on out in Venice. You know, when you're born with a name like Tiger Lily, you're pretty much destined to be a sex addict, right?
She was born with that name,
I think,
do you?
She was, yeah. And I believe those strippers are really named Bambi.
Okay.
Hey, Tiger Lily, what's up, girlfriend?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hello, Kitty, Miss Lisa May.
Hello, Tiger.
I'm going to enjoy this call.
All right, then.
How old were you when you first realized that you sure love those boys?
Actually, I started out with girls when I was 14.
Oh, sorry. Tell us more. All right. And then what happened?
And actually, my real name is Sin.
Really?
Sin?
Enough.
No kidding.
S-I-N?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So you're a teenager and, you know, like a lot of teenagers, you're, you know, exploring, you're fooling around, you're having sex. When did you realize that it was beyond what your other girlfriends were going through?
Pretty much in high school.
Mm-hmm. And that was just, you were the town tramp? That was how it manifested itself?
No, I was modeling a little bit, wannabe model. And I just had guys kind of flocking around and so forth and try to fend him off as much as I could. But I really liked all the attention.
Now, when you say you loved it so much, you made it your job.
Yes.
You're a whore.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you. God bless you.
Actually, I'm a slut. Men are whores.
Oh, I didn't realize.
But wait a minute, hold on. If you get, do you get paid for your actions?
Yes.
Whore.
but
and it's slut, you don't get paid.
But let me ask you this: a lot of hookers end up. It's a job, and it's a way to make a lot of money for a little bit of work. They don't really love it. It's just something they do, like most jobs. But for you, as a sex addict, it sounds like you really still enjoy the sex.
That's what makes me different, and that's why my BFEs love me.
Your what?
My BFEs.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Boyfriend experience.
Sure.
Without the strings.
I got you. Okay.
And you're super happy with this job.
Yes. You know what? I got to tell you, I really have the best job in the world. I'd be doing half of these guys for free if I met them at a bar or a club or something. So everybody's happy without all the drama and the emotional attachments.
You are, in fact, a whore.
I think we established that, Kevin.
Your experience is very different than the guy we talked to before the break,
right,
who went into porn.
And hated it
and started disliking sex, but still couldn't stop.
Did you hear that caller that we had on, Tiger Lily?
Oh, yes. I've been on hold for quite some time. I had a call back.
And what did you think of, it just sounded like the opposite, with the same affliction, but opposite way that it worked out for him.
Well, I feel really blessed. What can I say?
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, what's I got a couple of hours later. What's that cost?
It's $1 a pound.
$1 a pound?
Okay, is that of your, how much you weigh or how much I weigh? Concerns me.
Tiger Lily, we're going to put you back on hold. I'd like to get some information from you because we want to do Ask a Hooker at some point.
Actually, it's funny you should say that. I heard you guys last week, and I was going to phone in.
There you go.
Yeah, you'd be perfect. Nice.
You've got the job. Thank you very much, Tiger Lily. All right. Yeah, that's definitely on the Ask a list that we want to do, so that'd be fantastic. All right, do we have time for any more, or what do we got?
Can we talk to the one who was married to
Linda, line three, absolutely.
All right. Linda, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi, Linda.
Thank you so much for joining us. How long were you married to a sex addict?
For 5 years.
And did it start off great, but then once time ended, you said, oh, my God, this can't be what it's going to be like every day.
Well, I didn't know he was a sex addict until about the fourth year, but I did know he was cheating throughout the time. So it came down to him finally through therapy admitting that he was a sex addict. And then we tried to have him in the programs and things like that, and I tried to stay, but really, it just wasn't any fun.
Now, we talked to a listener, Richard, earlier, who was a sex addict, and talked about it was really hard for him to stay in a relationship because the woman just got tired of it, like all the sex all the time. Was that a problem for you guys, too?
No. I was pretty sad sex life for us because he wanted something new and something different instead of me. So our sex life was horrible.
And you stayed with him for 4 years, even though he had that problem and you knew he was cheating?
Well, I only stayed with him like 6 months after I knew he had the problem, and I didn't know he was always cheating. I knew he had cheated one time after the first year, and, you know, when you're newly married, you think, oh, things can get better. Yeah,
right.
Stupid.
What's his, are you still in touch? Do you know what his situation is now?
We are not still in touch. I hear through the grapevine that he actually has remarried and gone on again. I have no idea if he's trying to get help or not. I mean,
right.
he would spend our money on, like, he would stay up all night long on phone sex things. He would tell me he was playing Grand Theft Auto. And he would do chat rooms, and he would do, like, phone sex, and he would go to strip clubs, and he would do all that stuff. And I didn't find out till way later because we had separate checking accounts. So.
Oh, wow. Ouch. That had to hurt.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Honey, why are your pants off? I thought you were playing Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly, you know?
I don't understand that.
Oh, my God.
All right. So you do or do not recommend sex addiction?
I do not recommend being married to one. I have no idea how it is to be one. Some of these people sound like it's a lot of fun. But
some of them. Some of them. Most of them, it seems
far
like it's...
Far and few between, really.
I mean, that's pretty much the difference between somebody who wants to have sex all the time and a sex addict is the negative consequences that come with it. That does not sound fun.
Exactly. All right. Fantastic. Linda, thank you for hanging on. Thank you for telling your story. We appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
Bye now.
And now, a moment with Bean. Hey, you like the Weezer? I got the new Weezer for you. That was A Moment with Bean.
I couldn't be more embarrassed. It's 7:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KRQ. What about Jimmy Eat World, by the way?
Awesome.
Weren't they great? I really enjoyed
listening. Well, they haven't played yet.
Oh, they're still coming up?
Yeah. I mean, we've heard them play, but they haven't played for the people.
Oh, they're warming up. It's next hour.
All right.
It's coming
next. They're on the way. Jimmy Eat World in our studio. First, though, quick look at the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Ralph will be back in a couple days, I promise. In the meantime, Britney Spears continues to make headlines, even with our entertainment reporter out. She booked herself with the LAPD last night. Around 9:25, they asked her to stop by and fill out some paperwork and get a mugshot taken on this misdemeanor hit and run. She shows up wearing a black mini dress, a leather jacket, silver chains around her neck. They offered her the back entrance, but she declined, opting to go into the front door. She's been charged with one count of hit and run causing property damage and one count of driving without a valid California driver's license. By the way, as with many things that Britney screws up, this all could have been avoided. The woman has been all over the news since the day Britney hit her car saying, I just want whatever it costs to fix the car and an apology. That's all I want. It doesn't have to go any further than this. It could end right now. And Britney could have taken care of this in 15 seconds and a phone call on the day it happened. And now she has to go in front of a judge in a couple days and enter a plea and go through a trial or some sort of negotiations that she'll have to pay attorneys for. Would have cost next to nothing to fix the woman's car.
Sure.
You keep applying logic to her, though.
I know.
I mean, I don't think she's been working on logic for a long time.
She just puts her head in the sand.
And by the way, if you want to see a great picture of her where she actually looks, and I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, sexy. She looks sexy in the car on her way to court in the little black shirt that she was wearing with her boobs hanging out.
The mini dress, yeah.
At What Would Tyler Durden Do?
Okay.
Okay.
I guess what I'm suggesting is that perhaps Britney does not always make the best choices.
How
That's
dare
what
you?
You're suggesting?
Yes.
How
Britney
dare
Spears.
You? Right.
What about her?
I don't know if you saw this, but a federal judge has granted a request by Ticketmaster to block a software company from making or distributing computer programs that flood the retailer's site to get tickets before the normal schmo can get them.
Oh, these are how the scalpers are able to buy up so many tickets when they go on sale.
And then
the
scalpers buy them up, and then people scream, yell, and throw firebombs at us.
Yeah.
But Ticketmaster actually took them to court and said, we don't like this. They're taking tickets away from fans, whatever. So this company that's based out of Pittsburgh that was distributing software to help people get, you know, beat you out on the phone and online, the judge has said they can no longer do that.
Well, I dislike Ticketmaster, but yay.
This is like the first positive Ticketmaster story in a long time.
Yeah.
You literally cannot stop technology, so that's a fascinating story to read. It will make no difference. If that technology exists,
someone else will.
People will use it, and people will figure out a way around whatever law there is. You cannot stop technology,
or a different company.
Exactly.
With, like a little twist on it or something.
But at least it's nice that Ticketmaster realizes, because it would be easy for them to say, look, we don't care who buys the tickets, we just want to sell them.
Right.
It's nice that they at least are trying to stop that. I appreciate
sort
that.
Of.
Here's a name you don't see very often in the showbiz beat, and it's James Gandolfini, of course, TV's Tony Soprano. He was scheduled to appear in support of John McCain on October 30th.
Right.
Apparently, he was going to show up at an event and pimp it out. They became buddies after James interviewed John McCain for that Alive Day Memories, that Iraq special they did on HBO, that very powerful special where he interviewed soldiers that had come back who had just catastrophic injuries about their experience in the war. John McCain, of course, famous Vietnam POW, participated in the special. And in return, James was going to show up and you know, give a stump speech for him. Not so much. He basically now is saying he can't make it. There are scheduling conflicts. Gandolfini's representatives say their client isn't committed to any one candidate.
Oh.
I don't know if this is as a result of maybe John McCain's not doing as much in the polls now as maybe he was back then. Although we do have a statement from Tony Soprano.
He's a fag.
Oh, stop just, it. Nobody
what is
needs,
wrong with him?
Nobody needs that in the presidential race, right?
For God's sakes. Paris Hilton. I don't know that she's the person to pull this off. Honestly, I know she's trying to turn her life around.
Yeah.
I know she told Larry King she'd never drink and drive again. I know she wants to use her celebrity for good. But she's on a mission to change the world or her image by heading to Rwanda.
Don't they have enough problems?
She says she's a changed person. She vowed to shed her party girl image after she left jail. She's going to go there. She's working with a charity. She's going to be visiting schools, healthcare clinics, and children's charity called Playing for Good. And she's going to be in Rwanda. And according to Reuters, and I don't know if this is coming from Paris Hilton or if it's just the writer, you know, making up a story. Mm-hmm. But she's going to go there. She's going to work for the charity and possibly create another reality TV show.
By the way, now, Rwanda needs a lot of things. A reality TV show about starving kids is not one of them.
No, I don't think so either. But Paris Hilton is used to having cameras, so maybe they'll follow her around.
Oh, dear God, yeah. That has disaster written all over, doesn't it?
I just don't like that.
I hope that's the writer just being funny about maybe she's going to bring a camera along, because I just don't think that's the reality show anybody's waiting for.
Here's a little piece of the interview with Paris Hilton about her trip to Africa.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
So apparently, fairly soon she will. All right, Jimmy Eat World in studio and performing live next on the world famous K-Rock. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers? He is 45. Wendy Wilson, she's the hot one, and Wilson Phillips is 38 today. TV legend Suzanne Somers, who, by the way, had every possession she owns burned down in her house a couple of years ago.
That's right.
You've never seen anyone with a better attitude about it.
Yeah.
I would still be pissed about that. She's like, hey, I'm alive. You know what I mean? 61 years old today, still looks fantastic. Angela Lansbury, the hottest 82-year-old I know, has a birthday
today.
That's
not a category. There's no hot 82-year-old. None.
And John Mayer, he of the O-Face when he plays guitar, dating Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights. That pisses me off. He's 30, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. I used to love that band. What happened to Jimmy Eat World, Kevin? They were so good. Remember those guys? They had all those songs
next
we played.
Right, there, and right next to you.
Liked.
Right
and
next to you there. See the guy waving?
Right? Oh, yeah. That looks like.
See the guy with the headset right next to you?
Oh, hi, you guys. Yeah. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, the band is here, but Rick and Jim are in studio right now from the band Jimmy Eat World. They've been here for an hour or so warming up. It is going to be it's going to sound great on the air, but it doesn't look like much fun for you guys with the way we've got you spread out all over the building.
It doesn't matter how it looks, man.
It only matters how it sounds.
That's right.
So tell me about last night. You had a big casino night to kind of kick off the album, which officially comes out, available in stores or download today, called Chase This Light. What did you guys do last night?
Yeah, we were at the El Rey, and we had all these, you know, casino tables and people played for with fake money for prizes.
That's fun.
Stuff.
Did you guys have to play or did you gamble as well?
It wasn't required, but yeah, it happened. I think Zach like was the big poker winner.
Yeah, he really. He started a little earlier than I had, so he had a nice pile going, and I sat down at the Texas Hold'em table with him and.
Basically just hand him your chips.
Exactly. He had so many that he could just keep betting and then just bet me out. And
right,
that was
right,
it. It was
right,
like,
right. Thanks. And finally just handed him your money and said, all right, whatever.
Now,
take it.
What's the album is called, the song that we're playing on K-Rock, the album is called Chase This Light. The song we're playing is called Big Casino. Obviously, that's the tie-in for the thing last night. But
Big Casino.
What's the tie-in for the song? What's that all about?
It's basically
Indian reservations.
Yeah, kind of. No,
their salute to the Indians.
Cage's Indian gaming.
There's I don't know. It's just kind of a loser anthem song.
You know, like,
yeah. Basically, yeah.
I listened to the CD yesterday. We all got a copy of it. Well, we burned a copy of it. Sorry.
You lost so much money just at K-Rock yesterday with all the copies we downloaded.
But this is one of those CDs where if you like one of the songs, you'll like all of the songs on it, which is not normal for most bands. Most bands have a great song and then filler, and then the rest of it kind of sucks. And I'd rather just buy the 99-cent single than get the whole CD. But this one has a lot. All of the songs are strong.
Well, we were going to do that. This is going to be like, you know, our material for the next 11 albums.
Right, sure.
You know, you're going to spread all the good songs out?
Yeah, just spread them out.
Just take one or two on each one. And how many songs do you guys write? How do you work that way? Some bands write hundreds and narrow it down. Some bands write just the number.
There must have been like almost 30, I think, in contention when we were making Chase This Light. I mean, I don't know. It just comes down to a group editing process. You know, I think we all see – we've been a band for like 14, 15 years almost. You
right.
know?
And yet you still look 20, by the way, Jim. Yeah. That's what's weird. Yeah. You probably still get carded. Nice. It's crazy.
Weird and annoying, by the way.
You've been together that long.
Do you guys have big arguments about songs? Like, are there certain ones that one of you just is in love with, but the other three, whatever?
No? I mean, of course everyone's going to like different songs more than, you know, everyone has their own favorite songs.
We pretty much see eye to eye, mm-hmm. you know, on we like a lot of the same things. So when we're making the music, it's kind of like we make what we want to hear. And we.
Oh, that's so weird. I was just going to say that, Rick.
See, we're just like connected.
So what's it been, about 3 years or something since the last one, I guess?
Yeah, I think 2005.
Yeah. Did you take time off too?
I don't know. That's kind of hard. We don't really clock out. I mean,
really?
there's always like something to do. There's always
but it's all
ideas.
But it's continuous band stuff. You don't take a break from each other and
for like a year, go away,
whatever, come back.
No.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know. It's what we love to do. So I don't.
You wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. Right. People ask all the time. Like, what do you guys do when you're not playing music? I think
play
about
music.
It for a second. Play music.
Play music. You know, like.
Well, I guess these days too, it's an awfully big world, and it can take a couple of years to kind of get around all the places that you want to go to. I mean, you want to go play for your Australian fans, and you want to go play for people in Asia, and you want to go to Europe and stuff. And it just, that's going to eat up all your time once you put a record out, I guess.
Yeah. We're just thinking about it today. It's like the next.
Yeah. What do you have in front of you?
2008 is pretty much gone.
Isn't that
you know,
weird?
It's like, my life is planned out until February 2009.
Now I know you love playing music, but doesn't that go, wow, it's going to be a long time. That's going to be a lot of traveling. That's going to be a lot of work. No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Things come up, and that's the tentative plan right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
You're going to cancel most of those, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do you guys still live mostly in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, Phoenix, like the greater Phoenix area.
Right, right, right. You know? So you've cleared up some time in your schedule now that you don't have to worry about the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you got that time back that you were maybe, you know, blocking out to go see the Diamondbacks play in the World Series.
I can catch up on all those Grey's Anatomies I've missed.
Right, exactly.
You have a TiVo full of Grey's Anatomy?
I can catch up on all the Hills.
Has this been a brutal week with that series in Arizona? Because they just got smoked.
Are you guys baseball fans or no?
Oh, somewhat, yeah.
Someone?
Been following that, and they did.
That hurts, right?
Colorado's just been doing so well.
It's unbelievable.
Though.
It was like 21 games out of 22 games.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
My mom is a huge fan, and I've never thought of that. Like, she was never a big sports fan, but when we were kids, she would come see us play. She's a huge Diamondbacks fan. She lives there, and she sent out a Christmas card one year, the year they won it.
Right.
Her with the trophy.
Your mom?
Yeah, my dad wasn't even in it, and they're together. She sent that out as a Christmas card. Here's me with the World Series trophy. Yes.
People get pretty wrapped up.
Yes, they do.
People love it. Yeah. All right. So, hey, what is this deal? I want to ask your opinion on this. Guys, so Chase This Light comes out in stores today. You're going to be performing live for us here in a couple minutes. So you buy it in the store and you get a certain amount of songs. You buy it on iTunes and you get more songs. Like there's two extra songs on iTunes. Then there's like one or two other places where you can buy it with even different songs.
Dude, I just play guitar, man.
How hard are you trying to make it for us Jimmy Eat World fans to get all your songs, for God's sakes? Is that someone else's decision when they start doing stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Different people want different. It used to be like for, you know, there would always be, you know, for international releases, there'd be like bonus tracks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, they used to come out like usually it comes out in America first and to entice people to buy it locally. They'll put extra songs like on the domestic, like European release or Japanese release or whatever. And I don't know. I don't know at what point, like, everyone decided they wanted their own tracks for their own stores. But
well, let me just speak for the fans and say, stop it.
Or just put them all out at once. One or the other. Yeah. One of the two.
Give us a chance.
Are you banking? Are you banking the songs that you're not putting on the CD, like Tupac? So, you know, if you unfortunately something happened, you can put out CDs for years? Or no?
That's a great idea, though.
Yeah, it is a good idea. I don't know. Kind of once one person buys it, it's free for everybody anyway, right? I
mean, that's pretty much true.
Hey, what do you think about that Radiohead news? I mean, I'm sure there's not a guy in a band out there who didn't stop for a minute and say, what's up with the world today?
It's exciting. I mean, it's an interesting, exciting, volatile time to be involved in playing music, I think.
Yeah, you get the idea that it used to be one way and it's going to be another way, but we're right in the middle right now. You have no idea how it's going to shake out.
But don't you feel like a band like yours, thank God, has been established already under the old model? You already have a huge fan base. You're always going to be able to play. I mean, even if there weren't money in putting out new records, you'll always be able to make a living, right?
That's a nice thought.
No, am I dead wrong on that?
Hope but so. I mean, no. I mean, we did a tour over the summer, and we played. It was way before like any of the machine got rolling for our new record. And we played all over the country, and a lot of people came out.
Right,
some really fun shows.
So you'd be willing to say right now that since touring is so solid, that you'll give your CD away for free? That's what you're saying right now.
I can make no such
claim. That's not what you're saying.
I'm in no position to make such claims.
We're going
to
get some live music in a second. Tell me about track 6, the slow song, Who's Going to Sing Your Blues? What's the name of it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's called Gotta Be Somebody's Blues.
That's a great, great, great song. And it's,
oh, awesome. I'm glad you like that.
Yeah, it's way different than all the other songs.
You know what's weird is like everyone, I mean, the majority of the feedback has been pretty positive about the record.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has their own favorite songs.
Right.
It's really strange.
Whatever track 11 is, that's the song I
like that one too.
Is that the last one?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
That's Dizzy.
Yeah. I like that one too. That's a good one too.
And even the one before that is something about a fight or a war between
two. Firefight?
Yeah,
that's a great song. That doesn't even sound like Jimmy Eat World, that song, by the way.
Really?
I don't know. It just seems so. I mean, I can see that, especially live. I can see that just being heavy. You know what I mean? Like really, like heavy.
Just a burn. Yeah, it's a really, you know, kind of up and down dynamic tune.
It's really great. I mean,
did we not know they were coming in today? How do we have so little information?
Great research, you douchebags.
Hey.
Oh, the one with the fight, and then there's a bluesy one.
That song we used. You did that thing.
Track 7 is awesome.
Oh, that's so good.
Is this college radio, guys?
We don't have any. We have no information.
Are you so embarrassed?
We've heard it. We've heard it. We like it.
You guys are doing a great job.
That's all.
All right.
So someday you might make it.
I think we can tell when we get
potential here. Wow.
I think we can tell when we're outclassed. I think that's the deal. All right. Let's see. How about Jimmy Eat World? They're going to be playing tonight, by the way, at the Wiltern. How about that? And what's the deal on tickets?
Oh my god.
Do we have any
just
idea?
Fake it. Just say it's sold out. It's a Wiltern.
Well,
just say
you ought to check Ticketmaster or GBWorld.com. Wiltern.
It is sold out, I'm being told.
Okay, very good. There we go. And we do know that Chase This Light is the name of the new thing, and it's available somewhere today. And the band is here, and they're going to be playing live for us right after this on the World Famous Camera.
Thank you, Lisa. Jimmy World is here. I'm pretty sure when I walked out in the hallway a second ago, I heard them running through Smack My Bitch Up.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not positive, but I think so.
Chase This Light is the new CD available in stores or for download today. Jimmy World's going to perform live for us right now on the Kevin Beach on Kara. What's the first song, guys?
We're going to play Big Casino.
Love it. Let's hear it.
Fantastic.
Drunk set back inside.
Did you shout, show us your boobs?
I don't know. About the wrong show.
That.
Why would you say that?
I do that at every concert. I do shout out your boobs. I do play Freebird. Those are the two things I shout out. Hey, Jimmy Eat World, live in the hallway here at the world famous K-Rock. I don't know how that sounded to you guys, but it sounded fantastic in here. That was really good.
We had to throw in that little kind of stutter intro to make everyone certain it was live. You know, like, we weren't just phoning this in from our remote location, you know, our tour bus or whatever.
Yeah, because if it sounds too good, everybody goes, wait a minute. Especially when you have to play in the morning.
You guys are singing, and I wish maybe we'll put some video of this up at KRock.com. You guys are singing into a wall. I mean, like, right 6 inches with your face in front of a wall.
I'm looking at a platinum record for Prodigy right now.
Oh, that's why you were singing Smack That My Bitch Up.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that's funny. There's a huge performance studio to our left. Just a drummer in there. That's it.
Right. Just Zach. He's sitting there all by himself going, guys, am I still in the band? What's going on here? Is it body odor? What's happening?
It's in his contract. He has like his own dressing rooms and stuff where we go.
Very nice. All right. Jimmy Eat World. Again, Chase This Light. New album comes out today. They're here. They're set up. They're playing live. They got something else for us right now. What's up?
We're going to play a song from our Futures record. This is called Pain.
Fantastic.
Oh, I don't feel the way I've ever felt. I know I'm going to smile and not get buried. Try, but it shows anyone can make what I have built. And better now, anyone can find the same white pills that takes my pain away. It's a lie, a kiss with the bad eyes. She's not breathing back anything but bother me. It takes my pain away. Never mind, these are hurry times. Never thought I'd walk away from you. I did, but it's a false sense of accomplishment. Every time I quit, anyone can see my every flaw. It isn't hard. Anyone can say they're above this all, but it takes my pain away. It's a lie, a kiss with open eyes. She's not breathing back.
Hey, Rick, I love you.
I'm just trying to mix it up.
All right.
Jimmy Eat World is here performing live in the hallway of the world famous K-Rock. I say let's screw off the rest of the show and just have them play.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah.
This is a concert.
Do you guys know True by Spandau Ballet? You know that one?
Give us 5 minutes.
What covers did you used to do back in the day, you guys? You said you've been together for 14 years. I'm sure there have been a few that have made the set on and off over the years.
It's a seasonal one. We'd play Wham's Last Christmas every once in a while.
I remember when you gave us that for the Kevin and Bean Christmas album a few years ago.
Yes, terrific. That's right.
Yeah.
Fun. Actually, I think most of the covers we play are for you guys.
It is funny if your only cover is a Wham song. That does say something about you and your masculinity.
We just love Wham.
How about one more song, dudes?
Okay. We'll play one from the 2001 record.
Jimmy Eat World?
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World or Bleed American, depending on when you bought it.
Fantastic.
This is a tune called Middle.
Not familiar with it.
Not for, well, we'll hum a couple times.
I'm just kidding. Maybe you'll I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Good too.
I think they're faking. I think those guys are lip syncing. There's no way. There's no way they're singing like that at 8:30 in the morning. It's just not possible. All right. So tonight at the Wiltern, that one is sold out. But I imagine with the new record coming out today, there'll be other trips to LA. I imagine your fans will have another chance to see you, right, guys?
No, this is it.
Okay. Sorry. You gonna break up after tonight?
Yeah, this is the last one.
That's
no, we'll be back for sure.
Fantastic. Congratulations on the new record, guys. It really is terrific work. We're so happy for you, and I can't wait to see you again here at K-Rock.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Don't get a chance to say this very often, but our next guest coming up after the news at 9 holds a doctorate in mechanical engineering from MIT.
Ooh.
And he's on this show?
No.
Boy, how fast has he fallen in life?
Oh, wow.
He is the CEO of Instructables.com. It's a website that teaches you how to do everything. So we'll talk to him coming up. First, though, Ralph's out for a couple days making some TV. We're filling in with the Showbiz Beat in his absence. He will be back, I think, on Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Working on Tyler Perry's show.
This is a bizarre... I wonder if there is a token white guy in any of those Tyler Perry shows.
Don't know.
Never seen one.
We've never seen one.
I have no idea. This is a bizarre story that involves Ellen DeGeneres and the hottest lesbian of all time ever, Portia de Rossi, her girlfriend. They adopted a dog, a Brussels Griffin mix. Lisa, you're the dog person. Ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it looks like.
The dog is named Iggy, adopted from a place called Mutts and Moms, which is a dog adoption agency, you said, in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Things didn't work out, though. For some reason, the dog did not get along with Ellen's cats, so she found a good home for the dog, as in a responsible pet owner would do, gave the dog to her hairdresser, who has two kids, including a 12-year-old daughter named Ruby, who just fell in love with the dog.
Well, that seems perfect. That's all good so far.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah.
Ellen gets a dog, adopts one, fantastic, doesn't work out, gives it to another good family. Who could complain about that? Well, last night, according to TMZ.com, a rep from the agency came to the agency now, the Mutts and Moms, people who provided the dog, came to the hairdresser's home claiming that Ellen had violated the contract by not informing the agency that she was giving the dog away, which apparently is one of the things that you sign when you get a dog from them.
Right.
Which
I understand.
That's a good intent. They want to make sure the dog goes to a real house.
And that you don't, I don't know, turn it into the pound, which people do.
Or let it out on the street or whatever. Yeah. The rep demanded to take the dog away. Ellen's position is, all right, maybe I should have notified you before I gave the dog away, but the point is that I found the loving home for the dog and it's a win-win. Everybody's happy, right? The agency rep stuck to her guns, had the dog removed from the home with poor 12-year-old Ruby screaming.
Oh, dear God.
Police officers involved in going to the house to pick up the dog. Ellen says, look, if you want to be mad at me, be mad at me, but don't take it out on the family and don't take it out on the dog.
That's really sad.
I mean, they could have just gone in
and made sure that the house was appropriate for the dog, that there wasn't any place for the, you know, that they had a backyard, whatever the dog needs.
This is one of those deals, and you see this all the time in the news, where the spirit of the law is intact here, if not the letter of the law.
Right.
What's important here is that the dog had a good home.
Nope.
Right.
That's not what's important to these people, apparently.
I'm just saying, mutts and moms, you ought to be put down. I don't know who's running it, but that person ought to be put down.
Put down?
I think so.
Puppy Lake?
Only Puppy Lake, and I think that's appropriate, yes.
All right. Rolling Stones guitarist Ron Wood says he knew he had a serious drug problem when Keith Richards told him to slow down.
Well, I mean, that's a clue.
That's Oprah telling you to go on a diet.
Exactly. Ron Wood has a new autobiography out called Ronnie. Very, very creative name. And he tells a bunch of stories, like Keith Richards one time smashing Ronnie's crack pipe. And then cutting him with a broken bottle. And then Ronnie says he went down the hall to complain to Mick Jagger.
Dad,
he broke my bong, my crack pipe.
He hit me. Stop.
Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan were the greatest musicians he's ever met. He remembers being so poor on tour with Rod Stewart that apparently they had to steal hard-boiled eggs in order to eat.
Where do you go to steal hard-boiled eggs, by the way?
I don't know.
You got me.
Mick Jagger yelling at Elton John when he wouldn't get off the stage during a guest spot at a Stones concert. All kinds of stuff. And the Who's drummer Keith Moon driving a Jeep through a plate glass window of a hotel.
Jeez.
And then getting out and walking up to the lobby desk and asking for a key to his room.
Sounds like good times.
So that sounds like there's some pretty good stories in that book.
Although now you've told me all of them. I don't need to buy it. But yeah, very entertaining. You guys think Lindsay Lohan may be broke or close to it?
I mean, I don't know what she's made on her last few movies.
Seems like you can go through money really quickly if you're not paying attention.
It sure does.
And if she's only making a couple million and then she doesn't really make all that, other people make a lot of it, she could go through
it pretty fast. Yeah, she could.
She doesn't seem like the type who has a big endorsement contract, for instance, where she has guaranteed cash coming in whether she's working or not. So that's why I'm interested in this News of the World story, which is a British tabloid. They say she can't even afford a place to live, that she is staying. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, whether she has a house of her own, but she's not staying there right now. She's staying in the guest house of the executive producer of her last film, Tom Gores. By the way, if I'm the executive producer of I Know Who Killed Me, I don't ever want to see Lindsay Lohan again. How much money must she have cost them for putting out that piece of crap?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that it's her fault. I didn't see the script or anything else. Who knows whose problem that was?
The article also says that she had a $1 million hotel bill. And we're assuming, just based on, you know, where she's been the last couple of years, that may have been when she checked out of the Chateau Marmont, which she had been staying at for months and months and months and months and months and probably, you know, ringing up some pretty serious room service charges.
Dude, 4 months ago, I did not get that pay-per-view. That's when she was at the front desk trying to whittle it down.
Also, $137,000 in rehab costs. And, of course, you know, figure in thousands more in legal fees. She's had multiple drunk driving convictions. So,
not to mention the cost of the drugs that got her in the trouble in the first place.
Absolutely. So, yeah, she is definitely going through some money. She's not spending it, you know, Britney style, but she's got to be in the running.
Howard K. Stern was on the Larry King show yesterday, the day before. I don't know when it was, but Larry's bad. But that's not the point. The New York Daily News is talking about Howard K. Stern. And they are saying that Anna Nicole Smith's voice is still on his home answering machine.
So if you call him, it's her voice saying, hi.
No, it's...
Like my body.
That's it. No,
that's
not
odd.
It. No, she says, hi, it's me. You know what to do. So thanks. Bye. Date and number. Kiss. Bye. Moi. According to the article I'm reading.
That sounds a little creepy.
Her voice on his answering machine. Mm. And even if... Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was in love with her. Please. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and just say it is.
Okay.
Still, you take it. You save it, but you don't put on your outgoing message.
It does seem a little... tasteless for other people who are calling.
You go, I'm not going to leave a message.
You know, like when
Anna
Nicole's
mom calls. Maybe he doesn't want to have messages.
Well, maybe, yeah. But like family members and stuff that have to call him, you don't think they necessarily want to be confronted with Anna on the other end of the phone, right?
I would think not.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. And finally, we thought this wasn't going to happen when NBC announced the deal a few years back that Jay Leno had a five-year plan. He was going to step down in 2009 and Conan O'Brien was going to take over The Tonight Show. We thought, well, at least they got that piece of business out of the way. That's smooth. There's not going to be any trouble there like there was when Jay Leno took over for Johnny Carson when it was just a debacle.
And every time this topic comes up, we go, really? Is he going to do that?
Well, if you recall, at the time, NBC executives were worried that Conan was going to go to one of the other networks because his show is very good and he's very popular, and one of the other networks would have been happy to have him. So NBC said, let's lock this dude up, give him The Tonight Show. Jay Leno said, fine. He wanted the smooth transition anyway. But now that 2009 is practically here in TV terms, the LA Times is reporting that Jay Leno is not happy with the agreement, doesn't really want to leave, would like to continue doing the show.
It does seem like he's got plenty of life left in him.
He's doing fine.
I mean, it seems weird.
He seems to like the job, and he's very, very popular. He's been doing it since 1992, by the way. It's hard to believe it's been that long. 15 years already he's been doing that show. Anyway, NBC is trying to convince Jay to honor the agreement, let Conan have The Tonight Show, saying he can still stay at the network, maybe do some primetime shows or something like that. But so far, they have not worked anything out. So I don't know if it's going to be a bloody coup, if Conan's going to go in there with a machine gun.
And a machete.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it could get ugly and it could get very, very juicy. So
I like that.
We will keep you posted on that. Today's celebrity birthday is singer, musician John Mayer turns 30 years old today. I was still throwing rocks at my neighbor Robbie Joyner when I was 30, and this guy has that career and is banging Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that hurts you, doesn't it?
He wins, basically, is what's happening there. Oscar-winning actor-director Tim Robbins turns 49 today. Bob Weir from The Grateful Dead is 60. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 45 years old today. And the reason we all celebrate, and I've got a party to go to right after the show, is the great Angela Lansbury, the hottest 82-year-old in the world. Happy birthday, sweetheart. I'll see you after the show, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz. Speaking of the internet, by the way, we were just saying the other day that once we saw the mice surfing, that the internet was full and that we had officially too much bandwidth.
Yes.
I think we may have spoken too soon, because here's something that is new to me that may be my favorite new website that we've talked about in a while. It is called Instructables, instructables.com. And we've got the man behind this, Eric Wilhelm. He is a PhD holder with a degree in mechanical engineering from MIT. Like all of us in this room.
Me too.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, man. Instructables sounds like such an easy concept. Maybe you've been around for a long time. I've never heard of it, and I'm in love with your site, dude.
Awesome. I'm in love with it, too.
tell folks about it.
So it's a show-and-tell website where people come to share the things they do and how they do them. And a great example is we're doing a Halloween contest right now where people are coming in and they're sharing their costumes, their haunted houses that they build, the things they do for trick-or-treaters or the parties they throw, all sorts of Halloween-related stuff that people are building.
And then what they do basically is tell how they build it, and if you are interested, you can figure it out and do it yourself.
That's very
cool. Check it out. I mean,
that's very cool.
It's basically inspiration. You go and you check out a project, and you're like, wow, that's awesome that I see how to do this, and you know maybe I'm going to try it or do my own project.
When you came up with this idea, did you search the internet and see if there was anything else out there like this? And were you surprised that there wasn't? Because it seems...
Well, the way it started was when I was in grad school, I took up kite surfing. I'm sure if you guys go down to Venice or Malibu, there's the guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the equipment is pretty expensive. So I was too cheap and too poor to get my own. So I built all my own equipment.
Oh, I see.
So I was sewing my own kites and building my own kite boards.
Show off.
I would go out to the beach, you know, test out my equipment. It would, you know, half of it would break, half of it would work perfectly. I'd then go home and build more stuff, and I'd put all my plans up on my website.
Okay.
And eventually people were emailing me and saying, like, hey, this is awesome. Where can I find other people doing things like this? Where can I get more information? And I saw that there was kind of like there's a need for a place where people who are doing the things they do, that you know, the hobbies that they love, can easily get it up online and meet other people that they want to connect with.
By the way, Get It Up Online is another site you got to think about buying. I don't know if you thought about that, Eric, but there's money to be made in that. You got arts section, crafts, food, home, life, offbeat, ride, tech. I mean, basically anything that somebody would wish they had a friend that knew how to do, you can go online. Let's say you want to learn how to grow plants or something like that. You don't know how to do that. You don't have a green thumb. This is a place you can go and hear from other gardeners, as an example, on how to make stuff grow.
Exactly.
I like your section on how to make an escape rope out of bed sheets.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
Because really, I mean, who knows when they're going to need that?
Well, it's one of those things that you always hear about, and, you know, somebody's like, hey, I'm going to figure out if I can do this, and they did it, and, you know, now we can check out their results.
I thought that only ever happened really in the movies, but you're saying it can be done in real life.
It can be done.
I'm not sure that how to convert an old swing set into a guillotine, or guillotine, how do you say that?
Guillotine.
Prop for Halloween. I'm not sure that's the best idea.
Well, if you really want to have a scary setup for Halloween, it might be pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you wonder sometimes about some of the people who use your site, like why it is they know how to, oh, I don't know, build a remote controlled deadbolt? I mean, doesn't that make you think that there's creepy stuff going on out there?
No, not so much. I think it's just people are just following their hobbies.
Yeah. If your hobbies is luring women into your room and then deadbolting from across the other side of the room, yeah.
Now, here's the one I'm personally interested in. I want to know if you've tried it yet. Trigger green traffic lights.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
You can actually build something that you put in your car, and as you approach a traffic light, it will turn green?
Well, the title's a little deceptive. It's more for bikes and motorcycles.
Well, what difference does it make?
Well, the car has a lot more metal in it, and there's actually sensors in the ground. And they pick up on the metal of the car, but if you come over with your bike or your motorcycle, you may not trigger the light.
Oh,
and
I see.
So you can be sitting there for like 3, 4, 5 minutes,
gotcha,
waiting for the light to trigger.
That is the most BS explanation I've ever heard. Because what it means is you're driving down the road, you're in a hurry, flip that light green.
Nope.
Come on!
Can't do it with a car.
How do I get a motorcycle?
Hey, that brings us to this question, though, Doctor, which is, do you have any restrictions on the stuff that people post as to the legality of the instructions that they're giving? Like, if somebody was going to tell you how to rob a bank, would you post that?
We have there's a review process, and stuff that is obviously dangerous, obviously dumb, or really poorly done, mm-hmm, we don't let through.
Okay. Here's a beautiful example, by the way. And if you're just joining us, didn't catch the name of the site, it's instructables.com, spelled exactly as you would think, instructables.com. Here's a perfect example on one page of three fantastic items that you want to read more about. One is how to date a girl who is way out of your league.
Oh, interesting.
And this is step-by-step instructions. So of a guy who thinks he's average looking, but he manages to go out with hot chicks, and how he does. I mean, that's the kind of information that everybody would like to know, right? How to build a beer holder for your shower.
Well, yeah, I mean, why not?
Because sometimes you're in there for like 8 minutes and you can't drink the whole time you're there.
Sometimes you got to have a beer, dude.
And how to perfectly fold t-shirts in seconds. I mean, that's the wide variety of items that you're going to get on the website.
How about the 25 millimeter pneumatic sniper rifle?
It's kind of like a souped up potato cannon.
All right.
That sounds sweet.
What about fireworks? You have any kind of giant fireworks displays or some bomb making?
There was a how to make fireworks. It was actually really professionally done. It was a pro that showed how he made really nice quality fireworks.
This is fantastic. I'm gonna put up a thing on there telling how you can blow up your neighbor's houses. I've done that.
Well, we might just catch that one and not publish it.
Oh, all right.
Eric, real quick before we go, how long has the site been up?
I started it in August 2005.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, I know some people are sensitive to this kind of information. What kind of action are you getting on the site? I mean, how many page views are you getting? Do you know?
We did in the last month. We did about 20 million page views.
Look at that!
Damn,
this was a great idea. Now that you've had this great idea and are probably making big money, don't you realize how much time you wasted getting a doctorate from MIT? You didn't even need it. You didn't even need it.
I don't know. It gives me the credibility, right?
Plus,
you know, if I was just some Yahoo and I started this up, nobody would think I knew it.
Yeah, if you started Yahoo, that would have been a different thing. No, this guy actually started building his own stuff, though. That's how he started the whole thing.
True.
So that's probably what he used it for. I see there's a ton of iPod stuff on here.
People love iPods, and they love modding their iPods.
Accessories and all kinds of stuff on there. It's fascinating.
Well, you'll get stuck in it for hours, so be very careful when you go. But it's a great site. It's instructables.com. We rarely recommend you to sites that don't have boobies on it, but this is one you might want to check out. And our guest has been Eric Wilhelm. Eric, CEO of Instructables, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, dude. Bye now. Bye. It's time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
can't believe I went the whole day and never played Halloween Spooks today, by the way.
Fantastic.
Halloween's...
there's always tomorrow.
Like in 2 weeks, you guys.
I know.
Well, just in time for the great holidays straight ahead, a pair of tickets to the Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain happening Fridays through Sundays, now through Halloween night. So that's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. You call right now on any topic.
Dude, let's talk to Sue because she's got something on this topic that we were talking about a few minutes ago. Sue in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. What'd it do?
I just want to tell you guys that we had a guy that worked with us that had the same problem.
The phantom pooper?
Yeah, he would smear it everywhere.
Oh, so did we, by the way.
Yep.
Well, it's a mental condition. We Googled it. I forget what it's called, but it's like a real issue.
It's called poophilia.
What's the condition? Just that they have to do that? They don't have any choice?
I don't know. They're just kind of obsessed with it, and they want to touch it, and
That kind of detail.
They tend to be artistic people.
Wait a minute. So you fired? They fired this guy? They found him and fired him?
Yeah, and somebody caught him, and he made a statement that the union got him his job back, and he just recently came back, and everybody is just so disgusted.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. It's weird, because Jed's still working here at K-Rock.
Oh. What does that have to do with this story?
Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm just pointing out the fact.
How dare you.
Thank you, Sue, for the call. And again, you go to the Kevin and Bean video page at KROQ.com if you want to see the video of that Idaho newscast we were just playing for a few minutes ago. It's really hard to believe that made television.
Yeah, well, and that's what makes this country great. Nick in Torrance. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Nick?
All right, well, I just wanted to call and talk about Tila Tequila's new show on VH1, and you guys were talking about nymphos earlier, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
I just want to say she is not a nympho. She is just a straight-up whore.
You think?
Yeah. Well, she's been, like, talking about, sexual, whatever. No, that TV show is just an excuse for her to be a whore on TV.
Well, this is it's on MTV, actually. It's called A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. And she does look, we've only seen one episode so far, but she does look determined to have sex with all 32 contestants before the show's over.
Wait a minute. That's
exactly.
We're not saying that's a negative,
no,
are we?
No, we're not saying that.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah, that's what Tila's all about. That's a good observation. Thank you for the call.
It's on tonight, I want to say, right?
I believe
it's
yes.
Tuesday nights on MTV. All right, let's go. I don't want to take about half of these.
We got to take Leo. Though, got to take Leo and Maywood. I'll tell you that.
That's the one I don't want to go to.
Are you kidding me? That's straight out of
I know.
That's
super
straight
bad.
Out of super bad.
I know. Leo.
What's it doing, nephew?
All right, be delicate with how you describe this, but what happened to you?
I don't believe this.
All right, yeah.
I saw it in Superbad. I saw the scene in Superbad, and I thought, never has happened. Has never happened.
Why? Girls are
no,
girls.
No, but no.
They're bleeders.
But never.
Oh, geez.
Go ahead, Leo.
All right. So we're off of school, you know. We're like, all right, let's go to a strip joint. Walk in, you know, we have a couple drinks, having a good time. And then, you know, like there's this girl. She looks hot. She looks like Ruthie from The Real World, only hot. So not all black and everything. She comes up to me, starts talking to me, offers me a dance. I'm like, all right. I'm sitting down getting my dance, and I'm like, man, why does it feel like humid in here? And whatever. Sure enough, I go back after the dance, and another stripper comes talk to me. It's like, man, what's that smell?
Oh,
like,
come on.
Dude, again, there's a way to tell this story without going into that kind of graphic detail.
You just went to see Superbad.
It really happened?
Oh, my God. It was the worst. I've been getting it all day at school, man.
So you had...
A stripper just...
Blood on your pants.
Okay.
Here's the problem with this story.
Oh, Lisa's going to call BS on it?
Well, unless she's not wearing anything below,
which is a stripper.
They do. But they usually still have something
Doesn't
on,
Doesn't it depend
right?
where you go?
Yeah, of course.
And what if it's fully nude?
Yeah, but
what if she's a gusher?
All of you stop.
What? Yeah,
I don't buy it.
What if that was the beginning of her
Yeah.
Well, the beginning doesn't start as a gush.
She wasn't really prepared.
I gotta
didn't
tell
say
you.
He was covered in it. He just said he
I
had
just like to say
I
no.
I heard it looked like a De Palma movie.
I just like to say.
I heard it was in Splattervision.
No.
That's what I heard.
Apocalypto.
Oh, dear God.
I heard he almost drowned.
Pat in Placentia. Good morning.
The story I got is that he
All
almost
right,
drowned.
We got it.
There was not a small amount of blood is what I was inferring from that conversation.
His pants were not clean?
No, not all at
right.
all.
Pat, hi.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
All right, Pat, what can we do for you today, my friend?
Hey, how much are you loving that you don't have to see people front the Raiders stuff all over their cars? Because the team is terrible.
It doesn't matter that the team is terrible. There are Raider lovers for life.
Let me tell you, when the Raiders are winning, everybody's plastering their car and turning into the Raidermobile. I went down to the game in San Diego. My buddy's a Raider fan. I'm a Charger fan.
Right.
And we pull up and we're trying to get into the parking lot. This is usually how it is. Raiders!
Sure, yeah.
Now it's like this. Raiders. It's the best.
We used to be good. Now, if you're a Chargers fan and he's a Raiders fan, did you guys have to, by law, fight at the game?
We did a mock fight. We had blood and all that stuff. I kind of look like I'm in a headlock. Good time. You know, there was probably about 15,000 fans there. But let me tell you, San Diego is back into it. We've won the game 8 straight times. So
I don't know that I'd be bragging too much about San Diego at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. Although, at least the Raiders are the guaranteed win in your schedule. I mean, that's one thing you've got to look forward to every year.
That's true.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Okay.
Sorry, we don't have time.
What? What's this about? What's the...
Raiders.
Right.
Raiders.
Okay. They're not a good team.
A lot of teams aren't that good.
All right. I want to thank all of our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. How about live music from Jimmy Eat World on the show today? That was about as good a live performance as I've heard on this
program.
Early in the morning. They really sounded great. The new album is out today called Chase This Light, and it's available everywhere in stores or for download today. Also, they're going to be playing tonight at the Wiltern, but unfortunately that show is sold out. I also want to thank Eric Wilhelm, doctor with a mechanical engineering degree from MIT. Again, the website, if you missed it, we spoke with him a few minutes ago, is instructables.com.
Yeah, you can learn how to do a bunch of stuff you shouldn't do.
So, absolutely.
It's perfect for you, Kevin.
Get a shiv into jail. That's the sort of info you may want to bone up on now because you don't know when you're going to need it.
Bean said bone up. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. David Koechner and Melora Hardin is going to be on the program. They're in this new movie called The Comebacks.
And you know them both from The Office and a million other projects. Very funny. The movie looks perfect for Kevin.
R. Kelly has a new song and video and making of behind the scenes.
Great.
And you know how much we love him. It's not along the same series as it was before, but it's every bit as stupidly bad. So we're very excited about that. We hope to talk to the news reporter from the Phantom Pooper, trying to track her down.
Great.
Because she's got to be very proud about that. And we've got tomorrow, of course, is Book Wednesdays. We have Peter Sagal, who is the author of The Book of Vice, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to do Psycho Body tomorrow. So that's where Psycho Mike gets on the microphone and goes, "Hey, tell me what you like about me. Aren't I in shape?" And then you call and you say, "You're really in shape." And he says, "Aren't I really good looking?" And you go, "Yeah, you're really good looking." That's tomorrow.
Is the reason you like that feature so much because it gives you a chance, Mike, to talk to people who are inferior to you physically?
No. I think it's just the idea of me talking.
Okay.
I just stuck down with that.
You just like talking.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The beautiful Cat Corbett is coming up next with Sebastian Pumpkins, White Stripes, Faith No More, Green Day, Serj Tankian, Lit, and more right after this, straight ahead on the world famous Carrier.